Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is Monday, February 24th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police are looking for a man who attacked one person, tied up another, and then set a home on fire in Collingswood, New Jersey. Firefighters were called to the home in the 200 block of Crestmont Terrace shortly after 2:30 yesterday. Once the flames were extinguished, authorities say the firefighters found one victim suffering from injuries that were not caused by the fire. According to the Camden County Prosecutor's Office, a man broke in, attacked one victim, tied up the other while demanding money. He then set the house on fire before leaving. Both of the victims were taken to Cooper Medical Center. There's no word on their conditions.
Isn't that kind of a quiet area usually?
It's great.
Was this Collingswood? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Collingswood. Yeah.
So
yep.
I went there last week for the first time to go do an escape room with my family, and I was telling you guys,
how lovely it is. I remember you clearly saying that.
What a delightful downtown area.
You know,
and then I saw this.
You can feel safe there.
What happened?
But listen, you know, things happen anywhere.
Yeah. According to the prosecutor's office, one of the victims described the suspect as a thin man with dark skin, short beard, and dark hair. He was wearing a yellow winter hat and a yellow and black zip-up sweatshirt. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Camden County Prosecutor's Office or Collingswood Police Department. The memorial service for NBA All-Star Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna will be held today, Monday, February 24th. The celebration of life for Kobe and Gianna Bryant memorial service will take place at 1 p.m. The two were among nine people killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California on January 26th. Kobe and Gianna were buried in a private ceremony in Corona Del Mar 2 weeks ago. The memorial service will be held at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Now, authorities in Los Angeles are asking people who do not have a ticket for the memorial service to avoid the area of the Staples Center altogether. Fans were asked to register to purchase tickets, and the proceeds will benefit the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation. But the memorial will not be shown on the large video screens outside of the arena or at the LA Live across the street. We had talked about that. We thought maybe they would do that, but they're not doing that.
So. I don't think that's going to dissuade people from showing up, though.
I think
they're just going to want to be there.
Yeah, completely. So that's today at 1 o'clock. Police man checkpoints around quarantine towns in Italy's north on Monday as authorities sought to contain cases of the coronavirus that made Italy the focal point of the outbreak in Europe and fears that it could cross the border. At least 187 people in Italy's north have tested positive for the virus, and four people have died, including an 84-year-old man who died overnight. But officials still haven't pinpointed the origin of the contagion, which by Monday had spread to more than a half a dozen regions and prompted Austria to temporarily halt rail traffic across its border with Italy. Italy's neighbors, Slovenia and Croatia, which are popular destinations for Italian tourists and whose own citizens often travel to Italy, were holding crisis meetings Monday, although neither reported any cases. Croatia announced it would monitor any travelers coming from Italy, including Croatian children returning from school trips. New outbreaks continue in South Korea. Their CDC announced that 70 additional cases have been confirmed, bringing the country's total to 833. There were at least 77,150 confirmed cases in mainland China, bringing the global total to more than 79,000, with the death toll at 2,620. In sports this morning... Ben Simmons had an MRI on his back yesterday after hurting it in a lopsided loss against the Bucks in Milwaukee on Saturday night. Ben was emotional leaving the X-ray room. There is some level of concern surrounding a possible break injury that might lead to surgery. The Sixers are back home tonight, and they'll face the Atlanta Hawks tip-off, and South Philly is set for 7 o'clock. The Flyers continue to move up in the playoff standings in the Metro Division. After a 4-2 win over the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday afternoon, the Flyers are only 3 points behind the Pittsburgh Penguins for second place in the division and 5 behind the Washington Capitals for first. The Flyers are off until tomorrow night when they'll host the San Jose Sharks. And in other hockey news, when both of the Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders left the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs with injuries, 42-year-old Dave Ayers came in as the emergency backup goaltender. He stopped 8 of 10 shots and got credit for the 6-3 win. Ayers allowed goals on the first two two shots he faced before stopping the final eight in succession. Ayers is a Zamboni driver, an arena maintenance worker for the Maple Leafs AHL affiliate, appeared at Maple Leafs practices and skills sessions this season. As the emergency goalie, he was available to either team if needed. After he was named the number one star, the crowd in Toronto gave him a loud ovation. And that's what I have for you this morning.
That is the greatest story.
Really,
that is
cool.
I absolutely love that. Hey, welcome back from the weekend. Here we are on a Monday morning, and Mondays, be it as they may, kind of suck usually, but we got a lot of good stuff, I think, that's going to kind of pep you up a little bit. We have a new Word of the Week prize, by the way. We're giving away a mini vacation. It's a 3-day drive and stay at Smuggler's Notch in Vermont.
I love mini vacations.
Don't you love those?
Yes.
Yeah, we just had a little mini vacation not that long ago, a few days. And I also... places that are named like Smuggler's Notch,
yes,
and Gobbler's Knob and
Balloon Knot.
Balloon.
Stop it.
I don't think that's one.
Okay, but this sounds like it sounds unique.
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen Balloon Knot on
You're
the map.
You're just assuming that there's nothing.
Yeah, I shouldn't assume.
Named no. Balloon Knot, but there may be. You never know.
Hey, so, we have Blue Ball.
So we're giving that away. We also have a concert announcement today. We're going to get to that in music news. We have a free music Monday as well. We also have, speaking of the Flyers, notching up a little bit closer to the top in the rankings, a sorority night tomorrow night at the Flyers game.
How much are you looking forward to this? This is so cool.
Very much looking forward to it because I want to be in this new section that they're going to put us in that Nick has checked out and said is awesome. So I tell you what, we can take callers 15, 16, and 17. Ooh, right, nice. Now, ladies only. Ladies only. And your guest has to be female to join us at the Flyers game tomorrow night. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll hang out together, just us girls, going to the hockey game.
I love having a sorority.
It's going to be a blast.
I do, awesome. Too. It's the best thing ever.
It's one of my favorite things of being a part of the Preston's
yes! show,
is that we have a sorority.
You too.
Sisters.
If you're a guy, you should start your own sorority. It's really fulfilling.
At my band played a gig at JT Brewski Saturday night. Some of our sisters were there wearing their pins.
Really?
Oh,
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
I got to wear my pin tomorrow night.
So we'll take those callers now. We'll do some more giveaways today, and then maybe a handful, just a last couple tomorrow to get ready for that. So we're excited for that whole thing. It's in an area called the Assembly Room in the building, so we're looking forward to checking that out. So we have that, and I know we have a stack of other things that we can give away through the course of today's program. We also have director Gavin O'Connor on the program. Now, he is the man behind the film The Way Back, which is this Ben Affleck film. Looks very inspirational.
Well, it sort of dovetails with Ben Affleck's own issues. He's been very honest and candid lately about his alcoholism, and he plays an alcoholic in this. It has all the feel of, I think it looks like Hoosiers meets Miracle, which he also directed.
Gavin did a Miracle.
Yeah, it's somebody back from the edge. And you know, when you put this against a sports backdrop, it always gets you.
And has Gavin been here before?
He has.
And what was he promoting?
I believe it was The Accountant, right?
That's it. Another Ben Affleck movie. I love that movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. And the word is they're working on a second one.
I hope so. All right, so he'll be stopping by this morning, and we're just going to have a good time. I guarantee you that. So let's take a break, come back in a second. I have a whole big stack of entertainment stories I want to run by you, as well as a stupid question to do some giveaways. So stay close. We're going to have a good time this Monday morning.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Green Day, Holiday, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. Marissa had a dream that Billy Joe and she were married.
Wow.
Yes, I know. Congratulations to those two kids. She was just telling me about it. Now
you had dreams? Everybody had dreams.
Gene Simmons was in the dream. There were a few.
Who wants chicken?
Oh, William H. Macy was home. It was just
my God.
I know. It was really wild.
What kind of gangbang is that?
I don't know. But nonetheless, hopefully you had sweet dreams last night, 6:31 a.m. as we get our Monday morning started.
I finally remember what my dream was.
What?
We were going to the Cardboard Classic, but we went to the wrong ski mountain.
Okay.
And we were all there just waiting. And then they were like, no, it's at Jack Frost. And then nobody could figure out the app to use to find the directions from where we were. I knew, and it was in that dream that I was like, I don't know why I can't figure this out. I must be dreaming right now. I'm like, no, this is real.
Okay,
thank you.
Wow, there was something in the water this week.
There must be.
I had a weird dream last night. All right, well, we'll get to all that later.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, so the Stupid Question Prize. Today we have a pair of tickets to see the band Dinosaur Pile Up. They're going to be playing the Foundry April 21st, and tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. Let's see if you know the answer to this question. We're going to continue with a Black History Month question. So I did not know this. What famous rapper wrote the I'm Loving It jingle for McDonald's but doesn't own any publishing rights?
Oh.
215-263-WMMR. And I will freely admit I'm not familiar with this artist. But what famous rapper wrote the I'm Loving It jingle for McDonald's, but doesn't own any publishing rights? Call now if you know the answer, 215-263-WMMR. Today is Monday, February 24th. And speaking of famous rappers, son of a very famous rapper, O'Shea Jackson Jr., who is the son of Ice Cube, celebrates his birthday today. He was here in our studio.
What a great guy.
He's a super nice guy.
Super nerd, too.
He and I did a trivia contest about Game of Thrones.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And he just barely beat me.
That's right. He's good.
I wanted to kick his ass. But, he was a huge Game of Thrones fan. And you know what? I've still not seen Straight Outta Compton. Everybody keeps telling me what a great movie that is.
It is really good.
Yeah, I got to see
Even
that.
If you're not even remotely a fan of that particular music, the story is very compelling.
And O'Shea is in that. He is 29 today. He was also in Godzilla, King of the Monsters. That's what he was by.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And then Long Shot, which I enjoyed him in.
Long Shot.
So that's the one with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, where she is a potential candidate for president. He becomes her speechwriter.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We also have Dominic Chianese, I guess how you say his name. Uncle Junior. Yeah, from Sopranos.
He's a classically trained opera singer.
Is he
really? Yeah, he's an incredible voice.
I think that guy was born old.
Yeah.
He just has that look about him.
Yeah. He's 89, by the way, today. So happy birthday to Dominic. Also celebrating a birthday today is Billy Zane.
Ah.
Titanic. He was in... what is this? Oh, yes. Thank you. Tombstone. I liked him in Tombstone as a thespian.
Oh, in Tombstone. He's great. Yeah. Zoolander. And then I see him. He's in a coming attraction for a movie coming up. And they have him pressed in with his... So I guess he's fully bald naturally now.
Yeah.
And his hair is growing in on the side. And he looks like an old guy. But they have him playing sort of against type.
I was over the weekend. I started watching per one of your guys' suggestions, the movies that made us series.
So good.
And so the first one up is Dirty Dancing, and I'm watching that. And what I did not know is that Billy Zane was the contender for Johnny. It was He almost nudged Patrick Swayze out, and he would have been Johnny Cage. Or not Johnny Cage. That was from Mortal Kombat. Right?
Yeah. Johnny, what was his name?
Castle.
Johnny Castle. Johnny.
Finish
when
him.
When she comes up to do the lift, he rips her throat out and shoves it up her butt.
I'm hot.
What is all that?
God damn it. Where are my dumb effects?
Oh, my God.
There we go.
Yeah.
Johnny Cage.
Dirty Dancing!
All right, well, Billy Zane would have been... He would have made a good Johnny Cage, too.
I think so.
But Johnny Castle, he is 54 today. Paula Zahn, former CNN anchor, is 64 years old.
One of the X-Men?
With a name like that, Zahn. Edward James Olmos, great actor. Miami Vice, Stand and Deliver. When it's on, I'll watch it.
Solid movie.
Such a great movie.
Again, you know, the series that sort of looms that you will watch eventually, the Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Yeah, I've had very...
Excellent.
credible sources tell me how amazing that is. That it's not just really, it's fantastic.
Like fantastic, yeah. Yeah. Peabody Award-winning show.
So he is 73 today. Barry Bostwick, the actor, going all the way back to Brad from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Spin City and others. He is 75 today.
He was in a movie that is so 80s cheesy that Hal Needham directed, Preston. Do you remember a movie called Megaforce?
I remember that title, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't remember what the movie was about.
They all wore, like, spandex bodysuits, and they had motorcycles that flew, and it just they were this elite group of apparently gay. Oh, here you go. Here's a picture of...
Wow. Yeah, That's a silver outfit.
Yeah, that's too much silver. But it was a horribly wonderful movie.
Barry Bostwick. All right. Deborah Jo Rupp, who was the mom on that 70s show. Oh. Yeah.
I love her.
She's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was also in Friends, and she's out of your league. She was the mom in that one.
I'd like to know what she actually looks like, because in that 70s show, she's, 70s stuff.
We're looking at pictures of her. She looks,
okay,
you know.
She's cute.
The same,
cute voice.
A little bit different. Yeah, she's 69 today. I saved the best birthday for last.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 73rd birthday of Rupert Holmes. If you like tea,
then come on.
The man who brought
us
this song.
Oh, this is amazing. Yeah. I can't wait.
Workforce block today at noon with Pierre.
That was one of the funniest moments, because Pierre, who espouses love of all music and love of everything, and it doesn't matter what you're into, it's all beautiful. But he hates this song.
He hates it. I love it for what it is.
It's a cheesy song.
It's a cheesy song, and it's fun to sing along to. And when Guardians of the Galaxy brought it back,
too,
I thought that was pretty awesome.
What was his second hit? He did have a second hit.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
It's called Him.
How does that go? Oh, man. I know that song. But you know what? Because the one of the days that we started talking about Rupert Holmes, because believe it or not, we have done it a few times.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled up the song, and I listened to it. I'm like, son of a bitch. A, I never knew the title of that song was Him.
Yeah.
And B, I forgot that it was he that that did that. But anyhow, we'll have to see if you can track that that song down, Marissa.
That masterpiece.
Now I'm intrigued as to how that went. So Rupert Holmes is 73. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. What famous rapper wrote the I'm Loving It jingle for McDonald's but doesn't own any of the publishing rights? 215-263-WMMR is the number. We are going to Lydia for the answer. Hello, Lydia.
Good morning.
Lydia, so do you know who wrote the I'm Loving It jingle?
Pusha T.
Yeah. Hang on a second, Lydia. And I did not follow up on the story as to why he doesn't own any of the publishing rights to that.
Yeah, how did that get through his fingers?
That's a good question. But Pusha T is the correct answer. And for Lydia, we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see the band Dinosaur Pile Up at the Foundry on April 21st. And tickets are on sale now at livenation.com.
That was like, I'm Loving It was like a thing in our family. People would just end a sentence with it. Like, it just was so catchy that,
really?
Yeah, you'd be talking about anything. They'd be like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Have you, on another side note, Preston, have you watched any of McMillions yet on HBO?
No. And
oh, my God.
It's good.
It's a series,
so
right?
Good. It's a series.
Okay. When it's all wrapped up, maybe I'll binge it or something.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God. It's a documentary, but it is great.
And by the way, because I was all caught up. There were three episodes. When does it air? What day does it air?
I have a DVR, so I just look for the new one. I'm not exactly sure when new episodes air, but it is incredibly engrossing.
All right, here's that follow-up hit from Rupert Holmes. All right. This is him.
Him, what is she gonna do about him? She's gonna have to do without him. Or do without me.
Okay, there you go.
Nope.
Everybody happy?
We are done.
All right. At the box office this weekend, number one was Sonic the Hedgehog. Just barely beat out Call of the Wild. 26 million versus 24 million. Third was Birds of Prey. To give you an idea of where that fell, 7 million. So things slowed down quite a bit after that. Then you have Brahms Boy 2.
followed by Bad Boys for Life, 1917, Fantasy Island, Parasite is number 8. Then you have Jumanji Next Level, and The Photograph wraps out the top 10.
Steve, do you think that they CGI'd the dog in Call of the Wild because of all of the like dangerous things he does in the movie? Because if you recall, there was like a whole bunch of backlash when they had that Dog's Purpose movie.
Yes. Listen, there's a movie, again, that I sing the praises of on Disney Plus called Togo, which is amazing. It's wonderful. And they use a real dog throughout a lot of it. But when there's something that's dangerous, they have a CGI dog. And Nick, you saw Call of the Wild. Yeah. You recommend it.
I went in with low expectations, yeah, and I walked out really happy. I thought it was really well done. The initially, the dog is a little distracting, the animated CGI dog. And then all of the animals in the movie are CGI, and then takes place in Alaska. So they could have shot some stuff, or the Yukon. They could have shot some stuff with actual animals, and they chose not to. But once you get past that, it's really well done. And Harrison Ford is great.
Okay.
He's really, excellent. He's fantastic in it.
All right, well, here are the stories I got for you. It appears jurors in the trial against Harvey Weinstein are deadlocked, gang.
Oh. What?
Yep, they indicate that they are deadlocked on the two most serious counts, and the judge told them that the verdict must be unanimous. The 67-year-old is facing 5 criminal charges of assault and rape.
I'm shocked.
As you well know, Preston, having been on a jury, any of these cases, we are not privy to everything. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing things and they're charged with a set of rules they have to abide by. And so there can be sticking points.
Oh, yeah.
And where you're talking about potentially sending a guy who we all pretty much believe is a raging scumbag away. They still have to follow the instruction of the court.
On that last civil case I was on, I told you guys, you know, we got everything had been presented.
Yeah.
This time, all the evidence was in, and we went in to go deliberate, and I'm like, this will be done in 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'm home by 1.
And there were 3 people who didn't.
Right.
And I was like,
you mean to tell me?
I was dumbfounded. I'm like, were we in the same room? Are you kidding me? Everybody's got their own opinion.
Wow. Yes.
You know?
And, that's how the system works.
Yeah. New York Supreme Court Judge James Burke told the jury that if they can't reach a unanimous decision, then it can't return a verdict on the 2 counts of predatory sexual assault.
If he's found not guilty, how much you want to bet he gets up on that walker and does like a pummel horse? Right?
Right. Start out the door. Swinging his legs around. It'll be like Tiny Tim at the end of Scrooge. Right. Mary Lou
Retton. The max sentence is life in prison. The judge asked the jury to continue deliberations on Monday. He said, he addressed the court and said, it is not uncommon for a jury to believe that they will never reach a unanimous verdict, but on further deliberation, they are often able to reach a unanimous verdict, which is what happened in my case. We sat down and talked about it, and everybody came around. The jury began deliberations on Tuesday. Weinstein's defense team said that they would accept a partial verdict, but prosecutors refused. The way the charges are structured, Weinstein cannot be found guilty of more than 2 of the charges. First-degree rape and criminal sex acts charges are each punishable by 5 to 25 years in prison. Prison, a third-degree rape charge is punishable by up to 4 years.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the case of a partial verdict, they would just have to say, weed the guilty, find, and then they leave.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
So we'll see. How about, let's see, sorry. You know what I need, Kathy?
Hmm?
My band played over the weekend.
Yes.
And I'm not normally the type of guy that uses this, but I need some moisturizer because my hands are really dry, and I can't, like, I'm like fumbling with papers, and I'm like, can't
you
get
have
these
any
to move?
Okay, so I do have some in the office. However, I think our friend Nick usually has some with him. So
is he our moisturizer?
He's our moisturizer.
Got plenty for you. There we go. That's body lotion, white tea, aloe there, Preston. Right.
Thank you very much.
Personal fave.
As I go through the next story, I will be moisturizing at the same time.
We need you lubed up if you're giving us entertainment news.
So Hillary Duff hit up her Instagram after a photographer, approached her and her children and started taking pictures of them without her permission. Her kids were playing football with several other kids at the time. The 32-year-old recorded her exchange with him on Instagram, saying, paparazzi shooting kids, go practice your photography on adults. Creep, laws need to change. This is stalking minors. It's disgusting. So the cell phone footage shows Duff approaching the photographer and asking him if he knew anyone playing. When he admitted that he didn't, she asked him to stop taking pictures, and he replied, it's legal. And she said, I'm asking you human to human, as a mother, if you don't know anyone here, would you please stop taking pictures of our children playing football? And he continued saying that he was practicing his photography and that Duff's anger was unwarranted. He then told Hillary that she was herself making the situation creepy, and then put his hand over her cell phone camera lens. So I don't know what the story was behind this guy.
So technically he's right, but she's also
got a point.
So you
can just take pictures of kids?
Yeah, well, they're out at a public place. They're in a public park.
There was a local story. It was a Starbucks along Germantown Pike in East Norriton, and there was a guy there taking pictures of kids sitting at Starbucks, and I don't think anything ever came of it. I followed the story for a little bit. I think he was just a photographer taking pictures, but, like, the parents were not happy at all.
Yeah, and they have a right to also be concerned. So it's an interesting deal here. But legally, he can do it.
What do you think of this tactic, though?
I think it's slimy.
No, I mean her tactic.
Of going up and throwing them up on Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, because, I understand it. I certainly understand her frustration and her anger, but she also is just bringing attention to this particular guy, so maybe he'll be emboldened by it. I don't know.
That's the court of social media here, so.
Right.
And so she doesn't know really what his intentions are, and he could be honestly telling the truth, and if he is telling the truth, then, like, her tactic is
aggressive as well. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Marissa, do we have that clip of Drew Carey that Steve sent over? Because, we talked about this horrible story last week. His ex-fiance, I think.
Pitched off a balcony by a lunatic a boyfriend she was trying to keep away from her.
Had a restraining order out against him. The restraining order expired. He tracked her down and murdered her.
Threw off the third-story balcony.
Yeah, so he, on his radio show, was talking about... the whole thing, and clearly he's emotional and upset. And
I didn't know he does sort of a music appreciation show, I guess, on Sirius.
Yeah,
and so they pre-record them, Preston. So in the first one, he comes on early to let people know he came in to record an addendum, I guess, or a preface to the broadcast to let people know that he does have the information. So he explains it.
Amy Harwick was her name, by the way. Here we go.
I just want to let you know that I record the show in advance. It's a really good show, but I just want you to know that I've had my ex-fiance, Amy, who I love very much, was murdered the day after I recorded this. So I didn't want people to hear this and hear me being happy for the soul set and think that I didn't know it happened or something. And I just want to let you know that it sucks. And I'm going to dedicate a special set to her at the end of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. He's blown out. I wonder, it sounds like, they obviously still had strong feelings for each other. So I wonder why they split. But, I mean, it's water under the bridge now. Hey, but
you can end a relationship but still love that person, as a human being.
Very much true. So and then later on he breaks down even more and questions whether or not it's right for him to try to entertain people when he feels this way.
Okay.
All these songs were so important to us, and I want to play them for you so you can hear how much we loved each other through these songs. And, if you didn't know, she was murdered on Valentine's night by an ex-boyfriend that had been stalking her for about 10 years. And she was deathly afraid of, and even afraid of him when we were in the relationship. And he finally got her and killed her.
Wow, 10 years this guy had been terrorizing her?
Jesus.
Wow, that's horrible. Horrible. I feel just terrible for him. All right, moving on. How about some first world problems?
Yes, we need that.
George Clooney and Amal Clooney are underwater in their English mansion.
Oh, no!
The couple's $13 million Berkshire, England estate suffered major flood damage after Storm Dennis struck the region.
They were left with no other option than to retreat to their Italian villa.
Yep. Their family is totally fine. Yeah, Steve, they had to... They had to head elsewhere.
It's unbelievable.
Photos.
You couldn't even use the catapult at the estate, Preston.
Photos show that the land.
It was underwater.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's there for entertainment purposes. It's supposed to make you feel good. Photos show that the land surrounded the 17th century estate, including the basketball court, is almost completely submerged in water.
I mean, listen. I have a little sympathy for him, Steve. They had to wait an entire hour for their private jet to get gassed up in order for them to leave to go to their
I'll do you one more. Yeah. Their fox for the fox hunt? Drowned.
No! Yeah.
The actor and his wife purchased that mansion in 2014 after their wedding. Now, their home sits on a four-acre island in the middle of the River Thames. The couple also has residences in Los Angeles and New York City, and they famously have a villa in Lake Como, Italy, as Steven said. Dennis, the storm was classified as a weather bomb and hit parts of England, Wales, and Scotland, bringing chaos and massive flooding to the region. Well, I'm sure you're excited about this. HBO Max announced on Friday that Friends, a Friends reunion special, is coming to the streaming service when it launches in May.
I saw somebody put something out on Instagram, and there was like 3 million likes.
They all did. All the cast members. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was the same photo of them in a car, and Ross was hanging onto the side of it. So the first one that I saw was Jennifer Aniston, and she tagged everybody else on the show, and then they all posted the same photo.
Yeah, it was so, like very quickly they got all these likes on it.
Everybody, cool. Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matthew Perry, David Schwimmer, and Matt LeBlanc will be there for you. Aniston, Kudrow, Perry, Schwimmer, and LeBlanc will also executive produce the program, along with director Ben Winston and original Friends executive producers Marta Kaufman, David Crane, and Kevin Bright.
So if they come in on this, I think, correctly, and, you know...
Limited series,
you know, really spend some time with, they're further along in life, and just remember the core magic that made it work...
It's not going to be that.
Oh, man.
So they're going to hit the original soundstage 24 for an unscripted conversation.
That's what it is?
On the Warner Brothers studio lot. Yeah, from what I understand. What? So the all 236 episodes of the beloved series will also be available on HBO Max along with the untitled special at launch.
So that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, it's a get-together.
It's a get-together.
Stupid.
From what I'm reading here. So since the streaming wars began, Friends has proven to be one of TV's most coveted properties. Netflix paid an estimated $80 million to $100 million to extend its licensing agreement for the show through 2019 before ultimately losing the rights to HBO Max in July. Now that the staple has officially disappeared from Netflix, fans can tide themselves over until May by catching reruns on TBS. Among the other content coming to the $14.99 a month HBO Max are Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Pretty Little Liars, upcoming DC Entertainment series, romantic comedies to be produced by Reese Witherspoon, and movies from Power producer Greg Berlanti. It seems like this is just going to be a special that they're going to be doing.
All right.
Steve, you remember that special 2 or 3 years ago for James Burrows on NBC?
It's a big tribute.
They sort of framed that as a bit of a Friends reunion, too. They had Will and Grace. They had Cheers cast members.
Right. It was good.
It was all right.
Yeah.
But they've done this type of thing before. They've done the panel discussion of what a great show it was, and we're all still actually friends, and blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're going to do a reunion, you might as well actually do a reunion.
This is probably the only way they could get them all to agree to do it.
I suppose. Yeah. And they're going to make a ton of money on HBO Max.
Here's a story I didn't get a chance to get to on Friday, unfortunately, but I wanted to follow up on this. And you probably saw this if you were perusing Facebook over the weekend or last week. A bullied boy filmed saying that he wanted to die has now enjoyed the best day of his life thanks to the generosity of strangers. 9-year-old Quaden Bales, who has dwarfism, was the target of bullying, and heartbreaking footage of him was widely shared online after his mom had posted it on Facebook. And since then, he's been inundated with messages of support, including ones from Hugh Jackman, fellow Australian.
That's pretty cool.
And actor Warwick Davis. And a GoFundMe was set up by our buddy Brad Williams, the comedian with dwarfism. And they want to get him to Disneyland. They raised more than $300,000. It's probably more than that by now.
Oh, but way more. Yeah.
And Nick just pulled up a picture of him. I guess is like an all-star rugby team in Australia has taken him out, and you know he's now getting his due.
He had been apparently highlighted on a news show in Australia earlier because he was bullied and the bullying just didn't stop. So the mother was at the end of a rope and posted this video. And
it's heartbreaking.
It is. And then there was this thing that came, you see it pop up about a day and a half later that he's actually 20 and he's...
So that's a lie, right?
Yeah. Everything that I've seen has said no. He's actually what he's claiming to be. He's a kid.
Yeah. I would think they've looked into it.
Yeah.
Now, right.
Yeah.
So here's the clip of him.
So I've just picked my son up from school, witnessed a bullying episode, rang the principal, and I want people to know this is the effect that bullying has.
I'm going to deal with them.
Because all it takes is for one more instant, and you wonder why kids are killing themselves.
Give me a right now. I'm going to stab myself in the heart. I just want to die right now.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible. Horrible.
Some people
horrible.
Are texting in that this... There's legitimacy to it being a hoax. I can't believe that that would still be the case.
So I checked a couple of sites that I don't know. You listen.
Here's an article from yesterday from the New York Post. And so take that for what it's worth. But it says that he's a 9-year-old boy with dwarfism.
Yeah. And more the stories because I checked checking sites and I checked a few others because once it came out, I'm like, no, really? And everything seems to indicate that he is a 9-year-old. There's one of the things. That they're pointing to is there's a picture of him standing next to an 18, but apparently he was at a friend's party who had just turned 18, a friend of the
family. And that's probably why people are thinking that maybe
he was at his 18th
hoax,
so. Party, yeah.
Listen, people are quick to jump on.
And I understand that because you're going to be cynical on these things now, you know, because a lot of these GoFundMe things are set up and prey upon people. But what it seemed, at least the preponderance of information, suggests he is what he claims to be, a 9-year-old boy who's just... being bullied.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know this part about the...
We should stay out of these things. Our track record's not good, Preston.
Now this bothers me because people are quick to say, no, it's a joke, it's a scam, it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I hate...
He let it breathe a little bit, and then see... But at a certain point, it seems to be. He is a 9-year-old.
Dude, I mean, why? How can we not figure this out, like...
Immediately. Yeah. Here's a birth certificate.
Right.
Here are the people. Here are all the friends and family. Uh-huh. But now, as when something gets out there and people run with it, even if it's BS, if it's a bunch of crap,
right.
You're still going to have people that are there in this corner that don't hear the other parts of it.
Right.
And they just believe it and spread it. You know what I mean?
Well, there's also people who also have it. There's an impetus to be the first one. It's a three-level chess because people want to dismiss it and jump on in, and there's all different factions at work here. But again, from what I've checked and from what I spent a lot of time kind of looking into this.
You're good at that stuff.
He's a 9-year-old. It appears to be, yes.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, people are,
but then again, remember, I thought Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow would get back together. So, so what do I know?
You were still holding out.
I was just holding out for love.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, thought I'd mention that.
And Wolverine would never do anything wrong.
All right. Now onto some serious news. Jake Paul came for Zayn Malik on Twitter, and his supermodel girlfriend, Gigi Hadid, isn't having it.
No, she would not have it. She's sticking up for her man.
We're going to the hard, heavy stuff.
So Jake Paul is now making money or making additional money by boxing other sub-level celebrities.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's resorted to that?
Well, he actually, believe it or not, I shouldn't say sub-level. He's actually very wealthy from his...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his endeavors, but... Yeah, he does. He's a boxer now.
Is he going to box the fake 9-year-old, I guess? Because he's a viral
sensation.
That'd
be a cool match.
All right, so...
Yeah, David Feldman, I want to talk about the boxing match.
The YouTuber hit up Twitter when Malik reportedly ignored him. All right, let me rewind and tell you again.
All right, how do we degenerate into a boxing match?
Jake Paul came for Zayn Malik on Twitter.
All right.
Is that how you say the name, Zayn Malik?
He's from, One Direction?
And his supermodel girlfriend, Gigi Hadid, isn't having it. So the YouTuber hit up Twitter when Malik reportedly ignored him, writing, almost had to clap up Zayn from One Direction because he is a little guy and has an attitude and basically told me to F off for no reason when I was being nice to him. Now, when she saw those comments... Gigi had tweeted out, LOL, because he doesn't care to hang with you and your embarrassing crew of YouTube groupies. Home alone with his best friend like a respectful king because he has me, sweetie. Unbothered by your irreverent, ugly ass. Go to bed.
Damn. Damn,
girl.
She kind of wins.
Yeah.
I'm gonna side with Gigi on this one.
I know. The whole thing is just ludicrous. So there's that going on.
Sure. And you know what? Yet during the debate, none of the Democratic candidates talked about this.
Nobody touched it. It's too controversial.
No. All right, they won't go there.
It's too divisive.
So is this the, because there's Jake and Logan. So is Jake the one that was challenging either, who is it, Tyson Fury or?
Wait a minute. It says here Logan Paul is the boxer.
Okay.
Jake is his brother.
I think they both box.
Okay.
Who was the one who saw the dead body in the forest, in the suicide forest in Japan?
I forgot which one that was.
Remember, that was a big controversy?
Yeah, because he showed that dead body hanging there.
Someone who committed suicide.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's move on to this. Last week, Steven Spielberg's daughter, Michaela, announced that she is working in the porn film industry. We covered that. And is we're going to get licensed to become an exotic dancer in Nashville.
You have to be licensed for that?
No, you have to. There's a formality you can go
through. I
want
to see that road test.
There's a formality you can go through. We had talked about that in the story. So Steven and his wife, Kate Capshaw, have publicly supported her decision, but things are different behind closed doors, Page Six reports. A source says, outwardly, Stephen and Kate, who are the most evolved parents in the world and love their kids beyond all measure, have always been supportive of Michaela and tried to understand her.
We have audio of Stephen addressing her behind closed doors, Preston.
Okay.
What the f*** is this?
And the family friend said, obviously, though, they're embarrassed by her sudden public admission of entry into the sex worker world. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not thrilled.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Listen, I'm sure they want to support, but they also, are you sure you want to do
Well, this? Tell you what. Do you want daddy to drive you to your first porn shoot?
All right. Hey, speaking of daddy, Quentin Tarantino has become a father. Welcome his first child with his wife, Daniela Pick. She gave birth on Saturday to a baby boy, according to reports.
Is this the first marriage and kid for Tarantino?
I don't know.
It's the first kid, because he talked about it at Golden Globes or Oscars or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to be a father for the first time.
I think it might be the first, like, full-blown marriage, right? He wasn't married before this.
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
Other details were unavailable. A rep said in a statement, Daniela and Quentin Tarantino are happy to announce the birth of their first child.
So yeah, first marriage, Steve.
He is now
a
daddy. Steve, bring this one up for us. Regina King is opening up about the future of The Watchmen. She tells Hollywood Reporter, I can see myself being involved in a season two if it was really smart. I would need to know the beginning and the end game, unlike how this season was. I did not know what the end game was. I just totally trust Damon Lindelof. There's a part of me that feels like, well, he said, it's just really hard to think that we could top season one, you know? And Lindelof has said it's done. It's pretty much done. So.
But as we learned from Slayer, nothing's over.
Okay.
I'll say this, though. I would take some time. Let it breathe. If they don't feel they can do it now, and revisit it. Because, honestly, I know you and I were probably thinking, okay, we're excited, but we're skeptical that they can pull it off. And they pulled it off.
They did.
And in grand fashion.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this plays out.
And then one last story. Johnny Depp appeared at a Berlin Film Festival special gala screening Friday and discussed Andrew Levitas's Minamata, in which he stars. The film follows the story of photographer W. Eugene Smith.
Please, photography.
As he documents the corporation responsible for poisoning people in Minamata, Japan in 1971.
It's been documenting the story.
Documenting the story? Depp says that it was almost impossible to believe what happened in Minamata. He said not only in such a horrific way, but it spared no one, and there was absolutely nothing that they could do about it.
I'm not familiar with this character he's playing. Is he Japanese?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, W. Eugene Smith.
Okay.
So I don't think that's a Japanese. Eugene.
Eugene. Yeah, I thought Minamata was his name. I was not familiar
with it. No, Minamata is the name of the city.
Oh!
Eugene!
And that's the name of the neighboring city.
And I was not familiar with this story. He said, Learn the history was shocking as someone who is interested. I believed it was a story that needed to be told, and any time that you can harness the power of media or cinema or whatever art, I think any time you can harness that power and use it to open people's eyes to something that did happen and does continue, if you can take that idea, bring it to a page, somebody decides they are interested in putting the thing together, somebody chucks money in because they care.
He said all that. How long did that take?
Films like this, with Johnny, it took a while.
Yeah.
Films like this don't get made every day. We're very lucky to have the honor to bring this to people and maybe spark some degree of interest and care.
It's a story that needed to be told.
And he added not one person on the film.
It's got to be so hard to talk like that, Steve.
It's hard to think of the, yes, the streamlined version of every word.
Right.
It's a story.
He said it
needed to be told.
Not only not one person on the film had anything other than intense dedication and felt the responsibility of
it. All comes from Injun, Preston. You remember when he was an Indian?
To tell Aileen and Jean's story, he said. So.
When he was playing Tonto and he was addressing that.
Please play cowboys and Indians.
Let's do the clips.
Very exciting. Monday clip sequence is always the most impactful.
Yes, it is. In The Good Doctor, Freddie Highmore plays Dr. Sean Murphy, a young man with autism. Who looks to make him make a name for himself with the odds stacked against him. Here, Freddie discusses how he hopes fans perceive his character. Who the hell is Freddie?
He is Freddie Highmore, the guy
who I just...
Who the hell is this guy?
By the way, was it his birthday the other day?
It was.
What else was he in?
He was also in...
August Rush?
Yes.
That's it. All right.
And Monster Truck 3.
Take it away, Freddie.
I think I've always thought since the very beginning the hopeful outlook on the world and the optimistic way that he views humanity and believing that people are inherently good people is a message that people have connected to and that have connected to Sean through that.
Anyway!
And he was also Charlie in Charlie.
Yes, he was.
He was in two Johnny Depp movies. He was in Finding Neverland and Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, Chocolate Factory.
He was in Jackass.
All right.
Season 3. Of The Good Doctor.
By the way, today's not the day. Just
it continues tonight at 10 on ABC. Next clip, here we go. A self-described skeptical atheist goes on a journey to help other people after receiving a friend request from someone claiming to be God.
Yeah.
In this clip, star Brandon Michael Hall discusses the real message of the show, God Friended Me.
Spirituality, which is, it's a human connection. It's about what we can do for each other. And that's the main premise of the show. It doesn't matter what you believe in. It's about what you can actually do to help someone else.
I don't think I want to see it.
God Friend of Me airs Sunday night, 8 o'clock, and that's on CBS.
You know what show I would watch? God Blocked Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
What did you do?
And there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment news this morning. I have some movie passes to give away. We got a screening coming up. I have a 4-pack of tickets for an advanced screening of Disney and Pixar's new family adventure film, Onward.
Yay!
So we'll take 4 callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. By the way, this is going to be on Monday, March 2nd. At 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia.
Man, Pixar needs a winner.
It is led by Tom Holland and Chris Pratt in the voice department. And yeah. Onward hits theaters nationwide on Friday, March 6th. You're looking forward to this, Casey?
Yeah.
You're clapping.
Just because it's Pixar. I mean, they have not...
Yeah.
I don't... In my opinion, they have never released anything that even comes close to a stinker.
No. Right. No, not at all. They're great.
All right. Let's get you those movie passes. We are going to take a break. We'll have director Gavin O'Connor in to talk about The Way Back, the new Ben Affleck film, which is going to be in theaters on the 6th. He'll be stopping in, and we have a bunch of other things to get to as well. Let's take a break. Come back in just a second. Enjoy this sunshine on a drive-in on a Monday morning.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.
Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic. From 93.3 WMMR and Pacifico Beer. Friday, March 6th at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. The sled-deemed best design scores a $2,000 cash prize. The best Live Live Anchors Up theme scores $500 and beer for a year from Pacifico. Sprint has $500 for the fastest sled. There's $300 for the coolest Jose Cuervo. And somewhat of a gag gift for Preston and Steve's favorite fail. Mandatory sled registration through March 1st at WMMR.com. MMR VIPs, there's still time to save money on those lift tickets. The pre-sale price, just $20. But only till noon, March 4th. Or while supplies last at WMMR. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain.
Sponsored by Chorus Photography and Sprint. Brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
One of our interns pulled up a screenshot of my Twitter account yesterday. I said we went out with such a beautiful day, and it was my daughter's idea, so we like to do this from time to time. We'll go out and hide. Like we get these promotional DVDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them I don't do anything with, so we went out and hid some in a park, and I put clues up on Twitter for people to go find. And
they found them?
Yep, they found them, which was pretty cool. We went out to Huebner Park. And,
I like that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool. So it was just a nice day. I'm like, we got to get outside and do something. So we did that. But look for that again sometime down the road. I had a – so we were just having our, you know, regular morning off-air discussions. How was your weekend? This and that. And we're talking, and – it turns out a few of us had some weird dreams over the weekend. I started off the conversation by telling you guys I had a dream. It was really weird because I woke up from a dream that distressed me that someone was in my room and I couldn't move, okay? So I wake up from that dream and I realized that at that actually, it was weird.
It's like a horror movie when you wake up and it's actually a fake out.
Yeah.
And they're still in a dream.
So I woke up, yet I wasn't really awake. I had a dream within a dream. I was dreaming that I was asleep and having a dream that
dream
someone
squared.
Was in my room. It was really, really weird. And then by the time I actually physically woke up, I was confused as to what just happened, and I had to run it through my head.
Did you have a fight or flight sort of when you wake up, like, I got to take care of this? Or did you look around? Were you looking for an intruder?
Well, my heart rate was
up,
so I was confused and scared when I woke up. But I didn't know. I didn't feel the need to get up and run. Or
get your shock.
I realized.
I want to see you!
I realized that it was indeed a dream and nobody was in my room.
Right.
But it freaked me out. Man,
scares the crap out of you.
My dad was having these dreams. So he has arrhythmia, and he was on this medication, this blood thinner. I'm not sure if that's the one. It might have been a beta blocker, but I'm not sure if that's the one that did it.
He actually went someplace to use medicine?
But he was
curing it himself?
He was, yeah, exactly. He didn't eat like ginseng or something. Pull a root out of the ground and start gnawing on it. This will fix it. No, but he was regularly having dreams, nightmares, that snakes were attacking him, and he was having outbursts while, you know, like physically. His wife had to quit sleeping in the same room together because of that.
Wow.
And once he got off that medication, he got this heart procedure, this ablation done, and it fixed the problem, or at least repaired it for now, and he got off the medication, and those dreams stopped.
It's interesting how because I'm not as wrapped up in my wife is. I know you are. But when you have them, and when you have one, I think you had one last week, that can set your whole day in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
You're sort of carrying the mental luggage of something that didn't happen, but it still weighs on you, you know?
It's real enough.
Yeah, it's real enough.
In your psyche that it causes whatever chemical thing is going on there to make you, I don't know, just feel different.
Well, and then
you know?
Physical manifestations. I mean, you talked about the heart racing and like the breathing, and like it literally affects your sleep and then your state of being the entire next day.
Yeah, I was kind of in the dream. I was kind of paralyzed.
Yeah,
someone was in a room with me. I couldn't see them. I just knew they were there, and I couldn't move. And that was frustrating me. I'm trying physically to move, and I couldn't. It was very unnerving.
It should come as no shock though, because the same when you have something sexual in a dream. You have something, and right,
yeah,
and
so disappointing.
And it can be, or it can be like, oh, that was, oh, that's not happening.
I know, that's what I mean by disappointing.
Yeah. But yeah. Still,
feels,
in the moment,
feels real.
Yeah, so the same thing that is making it as tangible on that side of the coin, on the I'm scared crapless, there's an intruder in my room, feels just as real, except your sheets don't get wet.
Right.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, I've had dreams that were so real and so vivid that sometimes, and I was just talking about this with somebody last week, and apparently I might be the only one who, when in real life, when I am at a urinal about to go to the bathroom.
You fall asleep?
No. I have to, before I actually start going, I have to, like, go, am I actually awake right now? Am I really awake?
So today, like, if you were to go into the bathroom later on today, you would ask yourself if you're awake?
Yeah. Yeah, because I could
see at night if you got up out of bed.
Because you used to be a bedwetter.
Yeah, but I've also as an adult, I have had dreams where I'm going to the bathroom in the dream.
They were that tangible?
Yeah, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. You know, and I'll wake up like
just as I'm about to start going to the bathroom. Wow. I'm like, oh my God.
That would F you up. Yeah. If you were having to check if you were awake or asleep.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
It's like there's a number of horror movies that play off that ploy.
I've never heard of that before, Case.
Well, yeah. Wow.
Interesting. Okay. So then Marissa had a dream that she and Billy Joe Armstrong were married.
I think I know where that's
from. Green Day.
Because Marissa had a whole bunch of Green Day interactions last week. Yep. And like they were, a lot of them were on Instagram, right? And that was really cool. But I think you've just had Green Day on the brain for a few days.
And your Green Day vibrator came in last week.
Jesus.
No, I'm still waiting for that, Steve. It's on back order. I had Trey Cool liked our post that I had put up on Instagram. And then...
I'm sorry. I was thinking about your Green Day vibrator. It's called Dookie. It's for the butt.
Yeah. It's a butt braider.
I was trying to move on.
Sorry, go ahead.
I also did this art project yesterday with a whole bunch of Rolling Stone magazines. So I think I had all of these like weird 90s people in my brain. But actually, in my dream, I was dating Billy Joe.
Oh.
And we were at a party or at like a family house or something like that. And I opened the door and I was like, oh, all of my family is here waiting. They're really excited to meet you now. So I opened the door. I was like, oh, this is my aunt. And this is her husband, William H. Macy. And this is my other aunt. And this is her husband, Gene Simmons. You guys probably know each other by now. I don't know.
So you had Gene Simmons as a part of your family?
Apparently.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
You've
got to try some of this couscous. To die for. Yes, Marissa's the pride of the family.
I was doing this
art project.
Has
she shown you her Green Day vibrator yet?
That is, so in while you're in it, at any point in your mind, because I'm fascinated by this construct, is it Matrix level, this is happening? Or are you, I know this is not happening.
I woke up, I was a little excited.
Okay.
I thought that was a fun dream to have.
Okay.
Because I have very vivid dreams. And I think because I sleep at, like, I'll take a nap and I'll only sleep a couple hours a night. So I don't know sometimes what is real and what is not.
Well, it's funny because when we do our conference call and you've just woken up, we can tell. Because,
Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm. I was just making out with my boyfriend.
And then, Case, what was the weird dream you had?
We were at Cardboard Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another one.
We had all showed up to the wrong place. We had all showed up to the wrong mountain, and then we only had, like, 20 minutes to get to the other mountain. But I couldn't, on my phone, I couldn't focus and remember the name of the app that got us direction. I could remember Waze. And I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, what is, and that reminds me of all the dreams that I have, like my radio dreams where something's wrong and I'm looking at the computer screen and nothing is making sense on the computer screen.
Mm-hmm. So you're in it and you're it feels real to you, and we're on the wrong mountain, and did it resolve? Did we get to the right mountain?
So the last thing I remember is finding the directions and then driving the wrong way on a road.
We're scofflows, aren't we?
Yeah,
so by the way, there's almost never any resolution in dreams. You know what I mean? It kind of hangs.
Sex dreams sometimes resolve.
It's like Castle Rock, Steve. It's like that show. You don't know what the hell happened.
Never has any resolution. Where's this goddamn thing going? Well, it was funny because we were talking about it prior to, you know, just deciding to do the topic today. And I watch a show on CBS called Evil. Uh-huh. And it's basically the church has hired this psychologist to go along on exorcisms or things that she's required to be there to be the skeptic to say no, this, you know, so in other words, they're doing things by the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so she keeps having these nightmares where this creature that's like an all black sort of demon with spikes and stuff comes into her room and talks to her. And so she's trying to figure out how to figure out whether what she's seeing is real or a dream. So she writes a word on a piece of paper and puts it up on the ceiling because apparently, and this is, I threw this out to you, Preston, apparently in your dreams, you can't read text.
Mm. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Because you would be reading something that you're unaware of.
And I don't think that's true.
Well, here, so Steve sent this study over to me, and it's called 20 Amazing Facts About Dreams you might not know. And directly, number one, it talks about reading in dreams. It says the vast majority of people are incapable of reading in their dreams. So some people might be able to.
Yeah, I think I can.
It says the vast majority can't. It says the same goes for clocks. Each time you look at a clock, it will tell a different time, and the hands on the clock won't appear to be moving, as reported by lucid dreamers. And we'll cover lucid dreaming in a second. But, yeah, and these are studies. These are people that are retelling the stories about their own dreams. And what they've experienced.
Right. It's such a fascinating realm to be in.
It is, because it's weird, because dreams are so personal to you and so important, and the story that you think of when you wake up is fascinating to you. And then sometimes when you're describing a dream to somebody else, it's infinitely boring. Mm. You know, like you're trying to tell somebody this story about what happened in your subconscious.
Oh my God, I want to die someday.
My
wife will go, and I love her to death, but it's so real to her, and yes. I want to listen to it, but I'm like... But there really wasn't a dirigible on fire, right?
You're telling me your dream was weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, that dreams are weird.
It.
Yeah.
I like them. I like hearing dream stories. I like the absurdity of them. I think it's funny.
Yes, some of them could be outlandish. I mean, for example, Gene Simmons at the house.
I love that.
With an apron on in the kitchen. Yeah. Well, don't eat those. They're not ready yet. I've got to put them back in the oven for another 10 minutes.
That would be awesome. In full makeup.
Yeah, full makeup. Why don't you scoot? You're getting underfoot.
Scoot out of here. Skedaddle.
Skedaddle. Go watch the game with your brothers and Green Day.
But you know what? Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I had ever been able to read anything in my dreams or not. I want to say that I have been able to, Nick, because like Casey said with the computer screen, and what he talks about the radio dream is anytime you have a dream about your workplace and things going wrong, that's what we call the radio dream, because obviously we work in a studio and we do this for a living. And it's common amongst all jocks, radio people that I know, to have the dream where the music's not playing, the microphones don't work, or the microphones won't turn off, or... You know, things like that, equipment malfunctions. You've got a guest that you can't control. But I remember reading stuff in my dreams, and you could read it. The thing about reading, I think, is you read it and then something changes when you look back at it again. You know what I mean?
So I guess the point is, which you're not, in other words, there's no locked text.
Yeah.
There's no locked time.
It's all
because
fluid.
Your mind is supplying what you're reading, so it's not like, well, it says right here.
Yeah,
it's altering.
Kathy, do you dream?
You know what? I haven't dreamed in a long time.
Okay,
I'm dead inside, Preston.
I wonder if that has to do with your sleep cycle.
Maybe. I mean, I've had dreams, and I remember certain dreams. Like as a kid, I had a reoccurring dream for a long time. That doesn't happen anymore. And
what was that reoccurring dream about?
I was falling off a roller coaster. My aunt catches me at the last minute. Wow. Same roller coaster. It had red rails. I don't know why it was the exact same
dream.
That's
like right out of the movie Final Destination.
Will you ever get on a red roller coaster, Kathy?
I've ridden roller coasters. That doesn't scare me. But
I've told you guys for like a series of years, when I would nap in the afternoon, I would have a nightmare of sorts or a scary dream or an unsettling dream, and it almost always involved water. Somehow or another, a river, a lake, even, you know, whatever it was, somehow or another, there was water involved. And Casey asked me recently, because I told him I had a funky afternoon dream, and he said, was water in there? And I'm like, you know what? No, that stopped.
It shifted.
It's probably stopped a good 6-8 months ago, maybe even a year. That I just haven't noticed it until he brought that up.
Is there a consistent culprit now in those afternoon nightmares?
No, nothing.
Okay, all right.
Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. Yeah.
Get out of here. You're getting in the way. I'm trying to make food for the family.
Press, I have a very similar situation, except my dreams always included water. Yeah, because I grew up around here.
From the creek.
I understand, yes. Out of the
creek. Why don't you guys go out and play in the creek? I'm going to feed a deer some pretzels.
Gene Simmons tailors to everyone's dream.
I love it.
Yeah. Here's a great text. Thank you, whoever sent this in. It says, does Pierre have radio dreams about being on time?
I know.
Oh, dear.
I'm 2 hours early.
It's 9:30.
I've heard this many times. This text that says, same for restaurants. We dream that we're in the weeds. And when I waited tables, and it was a brief part of my life, but I would have that dream all the time. Mm-hmm. That you're stuck, that you're behind in orders, that you can't get the... It's like I Love Lucy. Like, you're behind in the assembly line. It turns into this nightmare.
I have this dream. It's constant. I will wake up. I walk into this room. Everyone is smiling and looking at me. I walk up the stairs, and there's Jack. Leonardo DiCaprio extends his hand to me. It's so beautiful.
Touching.
Lucid dreaming, by the way, and I'm looking at these things about dreams that that you sent over, Steve, 20 facts. Lucid dreaming is pretty intense. It's when you're aware that you're actually dreaming. It's pretty interesting.
I've had those, and they're pretty wild.
Yeah, they're awesome, because if you once you get past the weirdness of the fact that, wait a minute, my body is physically asleep right now, yet I am aware of what's going on. Once you can start to control what happens in your dream, it's amazing.
That has manifested in my, you may not know this, but I can fly.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And in lucid dreams, I can apply I can apply that to that ability. I have a superpower.
Yeah, it feels
real. It feels effing real.
It's absolutely amazing. I actually, I hope for lucid dreams when I go to bed. That, you know, here's another fact. Inventions have been inspired by dreams. The idea for Google came to a dream, as a dream to Larry Page.
I just Googled in my pants.
Oh, my God. Tesla dreamt of alternating current, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Hey, look, how come you come up with alternating current and I come up with, Marissa has Gene Simmons in the kitchen.
I've heard people come up with, you know, screenplays and ideas for songs and stuff like that from Dream. Wasn't, didn't Keith Richards talk about songs for the Stones coming from dreams?
He wrote, I think it might have been Brown Sugar or something like that. He was hammered and he didn't realize it until he woke up and realized the tape was rolling.
Yeah.
So he had forgotten it completely. Okay. But yeah,
dream,
he was just
blackout drunk, whatever.
Yeah, same thing. The James Watson came up with the double helix spiral to form DNA.
Wow.
As a dream. And there's loads and loads of other.
How do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes, on occasion, I will get up and immediately jot a note down about something that I dreamt that was important to me. And because if you don't, it's fleeting. It goes away really, really quickly.
Yep.
And if you don't remind yourself of it.
I just cured leukemia.
Hang on a second here. Let me go to some calls because we got loads of them coming in here. Let's see. All right, why not? Let's go to Amanda. Recurring nightmare. Hi, Amanda. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, what's up, Amanda?
So, at 11, I had a nightmare that a man who, he's burned. So, he's in a suit. It's the same black suit. He's charred on just his left side, and it goes all the way up to his face. And then the other portion of him, he's decaying, so he's not all together. I can see his teeth through the side of his teeth.
Like Two-Face. It sounds like Two-Face. It's exactly what I was thinking of.
It's almost like that, but his decaying side, like I can see his teeth through his cheek.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an eyelid. So it's the same guy. I'm 32 years old. He has been in my life. He has followed me.
How long? Your whole life?
Since I was 11.
Wow. Does he talk to you specifically? Is he malevolent in the dream?
Yes.
Is it Freddy Krueger?
I mean, that is very Freddy Krueger case here. I was thinking that as well.
So what happens is the more stressed that I am in my life, that and I refuse to go to mediums, and because anytime I've talked about it with a medium, anytime I've touched a Ouija board, the nightmares get more intense.
You're going to need an extra large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me double back here. Have you given him a name?
He tells me his name. I never remember when I wake up.
You never remember his name. He tells you his name in every dream.
Okay.
He tells me his name all the time.
Maybe not a medium. Maybe a psychologist or some professional.
I've seen psychologists periodically throughout my life for different things, and I've brought that up, and they think that it is just a my psychologist said that it's a manifest of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because the more that when I'm more anxious when things are going on in my life, the closer he gets. And if at one point I was going through a really hard time, he was touching me. When he touches me, I have I wake up and it's really hard for me to get over that.
Wow.
It's not just that he touches me. He wants to hurt me, and he tells me that he's going to be there. I know, according to him, I know when I'm going to die. I know how I'm going to die, and he's going to be there to collect me when it happens.
Damn, Amanda.
Why do you ever go to sleep?
Seriously.
And you know what? And if it's been going on, you're in your 30s, and this has been going on since you're 11, I'm surprised that you haven't almost kind of come to terms with or gotten used to his presence. It still affects you.
I do, and I tell people all the time. Anybody knows me. I'm not living past 60. I'm telling you right now.
Well,
I'm not living past 60.
It's listen. I believe that what the psychologists and whoever you've talked to have said, that it's sort of a manifestation of things going on in your life. But at a certain point, it sort of crosses a line when you're having this many encounters with this person. And in fact, Fred Preston in A Nightmare on Elm Street, when she faces him,
yeah,
you know, for what he is, that robs his power
yes.
from him.
Yes.
It's in The Conjuring. Isn't it the one that she needs to know?
In The Conjuring, yes.
Yeah. She needs to know the name of the nun. And she, in the, at the very end, that's how she got, I never remember.
So do you think if you were to actually be able to recall this name when you're awake and bring it back in with you to the sleep world, that you could eradicate this dream?
I've thought of many different ways.
Could you do it here in the studio?
Yeah, we'll do a full exorcism right there in the studio. Sure. I love that. The one thing that I think about sometimes too is I've come to terms with it and I've been able to handle it now.
God.
I am afraid that if I do start to pry and things will get worse. I don't have the nightmare all the time because I talked about it today.
Yeah.
It'll probably happen and it'll happen. It'll keep happening periodically for the next couple of days. And then once my anxiety gets real high, then he'll get real close.
I wonder if you, now listen, I'm not a professional and take this with, for what it is, but I wonder if you did some kind of ritualistic thing in real life that it might purge this. And by that, I mean like almost creating like a little doll of this guy.
Like Annabelle.
And like Annabelle. And maybe, you know, burning it or something like that.
An effigy.
Yeah, an effigy of sorts and destroying it in real life. Or just going to the Burning Man Festival or something.
Just go
like
that. Yeah.
Go do that. Party your ass off.
But what if she pisses him off?
Or just go to Today's Man.
What's that, Amanda?
I'll go to the Burning Man. I'll get a solid exorcism, entertainment.
Totally. You can go on to. No, listen. This is. There we go. It is a fascinating thing because, as you brought up the Conjuring and all that stuff, this is what a lot of horror movies and visitation movies are fueled by.
Well, yeah. Let us know if he ever goes away, Amanda. Okay.
Thank you guys so much. Happy Monday.
Right, bye-bye.
But she said he might come tonight because she was talking about him.
Yeah.
If that is the case,
let us know. I would like to know about that. Let me see here. We got a lot of interesting. So, all right, we'll go to our friend, Craig Ligons, who wanted to check in. Hi, Craig. You're on the air. Good morning.
What up, white folks?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Well, similar to what Marissa did, mine is a lot. I was married to someone famous, but I had absolutely no connection to this person whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
In my dream, I walk into this beautiful island kitchen, and I can remember the kitchen vividly, the tile, the pots, the pans, where the refrigerator was, but I was married to Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl from Knocked Up.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, a movie that I've seen in years. I've never had a crush on Katherine Heigl. I've never thought about Katherine Heigl a day in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't cutting out articles about Katherine Heigl or nothing. But we were married, and she was in a blue dress, in a purse, and she said, I'm getting ready to go. She had an interview with the Hollywood press, and she said, I'll see you tonight. She leaves. We don't kiss. We don't high-five, fist bump, nothing. She just goes. I go to the office, wherever that is, and the office is beautiful, plush, you know, red carpet, and I've got a sweater vest on, which I never wear, and I'm doing my office work. There's a bunch of papers in front of me. I don't know what I do. I don't know why I'm there. My office mate, nameless person, comes up and said, oh, it's on. It's on. And I automatically know that it's the interview that Katherine Heigl, my wife, is giving to the Hollywood press. And I walk into a coworker's office that has his own TV, and I'm looking at her on TV, and the interviewer asks her, how's married life? And she goes, oh, it's great. I've never been happier in my life. And I'm feeling all this pride, but at the same time, aware that I'm in a dream. I think, I don't know this woman. No reason on earth.
And so you wake up and so that was a one and done, or have you had subsequent encounters with Katherine Heigl?
Never. But I never had any with Katherine Heigl before that. That dream just came out of nowhere. It happened about a year and a half ago. I've never had another one since.
You can't shake it either. Yeah. Listen to you.
She wants you. Somewhere she's, what? I keep dreaming about this man who's totally into comic books. I don't know why. So she's telling her therapist this. Wow. Huh?
All right.
That is weird.
Thank you, Craig.
No, thank you.
All right. See you later.
Heigl.
Have you ever had anybody? Well, I haven't.
Gene Simmons.
Who's had the same dream you had. You know what I mean? Like on the same night or something along those lines.
Have you?
You're telling? No, I'm saying it'd be interesting if you're telling somebody about a dream. They're going, "Oh my god, I had the same thing."
If they did, I'd freak the f out.
Now this is weird. Bringing up the facts about dreams, Steve. You know about dreams, Steve. You know we had mentioned sexual dreams. Scientifically, they are named nocturnal penile tumescence.
Yeah, that's romantic.
Which is a well-documented phenomenon, and it simply means you get wood while you dream or sleep. Studies indicate, now listen to this, that men get up to 20 erections, it says, per dream. I got to think that's per night, not per dream.
Because dreams apparently don't last that long in real life, right?
So you got to squeeze 20 in?
you got
to
get
a short dream.
At some point during the dream.
Wait, I still have 4 erections left.
That's a lot of wood.
We can move on to the next dream now.
Right. Okay.
That is a ton of wood. That's a lumberyard of boners.
Let's see here. I'm going to go. I had mentioned my dad having the medication dreams. Scott had something along those lines. Hi, Scott. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
Hey, so about 2 years ago, I got married in Ireland. And a week after I got back from Ireland, I got in a snowboarding accident where I wound up breaking my back in 3 spots.
Ooh.
And I broke my ribs and I broke my shoulder and had nerve damage. And I got sent to the hospital. And they have been such strong medication of called Dramamine that the whole time I would wind up laying in the hospital bed. And this medication would give you very strong hallucinogens. And while I was sleeping, I'd wake up in the middle of my dream thinking I was still in the airport from when I was in Ireland. So I'd wake up.
And Scott, it's Gene Simmons. I made you some pot stickers.
I'd wind up getting through security and everything, and then I realized my luggage got stopped. Here, I couldn't tell the difference between the reality of the dream and being, awake.
Did you, Scott, feel as if you lost time?
No. In a sense, yes. Just because, The drug was so strong.
Yeah, yeah.
It couldn't really make a difference of what was actually really happening to me. So here I'm laying in this bed and have a broken back. And I have a lot of rage when I get angry. And I wind up trying to actually stand up and, tear apart my gown. Just I'm done. I'm tired of hooked up to these medical cords and everything. Just rip them all off. And every time you touch one of these cords, a sensor goes off.
Right.
I'm trying to rip off everything, and then all these nurses come running into my room, and here I have a broken back, and I'm trying to stand up and walk out.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, some of those drugs are so powerful.
Yeah.
And,
thanks, Scott.
You don't know. You can be completely awake and think you're dreaming.
And by the way, there's one last thing. There's 20 facts on here. We don't have time to go through all of them, but it says here one of the facts is dreams tend to be negative. It says, surprisingly, dreams are more often negative than positive. The 3 most widely reported emotions felt during dreaming are anger, sadness, and fear.
Well, it's kind of reason.
Yeah.
It's to me, it seems like sort of a way to tap off those unresolved energies.
Yeah.
And so where you can sort of keep them in check while you're awake, they overtake your mind when you're more sedate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think so, because maybe you're repressing some things in your emotionally. And
my souffle fell.
Yeah. Maybe a little scream therapy or something
Marissa,
like that.
It's going to be another hour for dinner.
I mean,
would
your
you
brain,
tell the boys?
I think your brain is trying to work out some of its problems while you're not conscious.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting stuff. I'm sorry if it's weird hearing about other people's dreams, but me, Casey, and Marissa all had strange dreams over the weekend, and we were like, you know what? Maybe we need to hash this stuff out. Is this dreamy music?
It's time to go to sleep now, and let me enter your nocturnal world. Come with me, won't you, as I prepare your entrees.
Oh, this is Yanni.
Oh.
It's a song called One Man's Dream. All Yanni fans know.
Most dreams people have are that Yanni would go away.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I want to take a break, but listen, maybe it's been your dream to join us for a Preston and Steve sorority party.
We got one tomorrow night at the Flyers game. We are going to be in this cool area that they have called the Assembly Room. It's got couches and a fireplace, for crying out loud.
It is a really slick-looking place.
I'm going to take callers 17, 18, and 19 who are ladies only and are either in the Preston and Steve sorority Zeta Eta Pi or like to become members of the sorority. 215-263-WMMR. You and a female guest will be able to join us, the entire Preston and Steve show, tomorrow night. I haven't been to a game all season. I'm excited.
Well, they're playing really well right now, too, man. So it'll be a good game to go to. And they've moved up to third place in the division, so it'll be fun.
Yep. Tickets are on sale now. Doors open at 5:30. Game is at 7 p.m. Let's get you on board. They're playing the Sharks. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. I got some interesting Bizarre File stories I want to share with you when we return. Stay close.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Bozzy. Dirty Honey.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Real quick, for Bizarre File, I have two quick shout-outs, if you don't mind. I got this one last Friday, and I forgot to get to it, but and it's a tad bit generic. But I'll read you what he wrote. It just says, the subject says, my 50th birthday. It says, hello, good morning, my name is Rob, I work, I'm Maniunk. Listen to the show every day. Love the laughs. Just wanted to shout out for my birthday today, if possible, around 10 a.m. It's our break time. That's it.
That's enough.
Don't know Rob's last name or where he works. I just know that he's Maniunk. And here's a shout out for your 50th birthday, Rob Maniunk.
I lived in Rob for a while then.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Aren't we all Maniunk?
There are a bunch of us that are Maniunk.
Yeah.
And then one last one says, hey guys, my brother and I have been listening to your show for years and recently moved to D.C. and now listen to the podcast while at work so I don't get homesick. But I wanted to see that if you'd be able to give a big old shout out for my older but younger brother, Joey, who still lives in the Philly area, and his birthday is on leap year. That's what he means, my older and younger birthday. And he's turning 7 this year. He was born in 1992. Thank you. That's from Corey Radkin. So, Corey, I'll miss it if I don't do it now. So I'm gonna do the shout out for him now, if you don't mind. We do have those leap year birthdays coming.
We do, yeah. Very exciting.
Yep. All right, it is Bizarre File time, so let's go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. Well, it was a big weekend as far as Bizarre File stories go. I have a lot of good stuff that came up. We're going to start with this one, which has a happy ending to it. A 16-year-old toy poodle was scooped up and dropped by a hawk and then found 28 hours later alive.
That's miraculous.
Yeah. Deborah Falcione said that her pup, Portia, was on the back deck of her home in Allegheny County Thursday when the dog was suddenly taken by a hawk and carried off. She thought she'd never see her poodle again.
Yeah.
After hours of searching, she started to lose hope, especially after the temperatures dropped well below freezing overnight. Then, nearly 28 hours later, Banfield Animal Health Hospital had called and told her that Portia was found. She said to them, I said, that's impossible. She could not have survived 28 hours out in the bitter cold weather in 10-degree weather. This is a 6.5-pound dog. She's blind. She's deaf. She's 16 years old. I went down there, and sure enough,
it's miraculous.
This is the dog. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Portia was dropped by the hawk nearly 4 blocks away from her home and found by a neighbor.
Listen, this is too much work. I'm just going to leave you here.
Falcione said that Portia may be a tiny dog, but she's got the strongest will to survive.
You just smell. You're old, and I'm leaving you here. I can't do it.
She said the vet put her in a heating tank, and she was very lethargic, but had no broken bones and is otherwise okay.
I mean, honestly, because if the bird achieved any sort of altitude and dropped it,
yeah,
that would have been it for a 16-year-old dog.
Exactly. So, wow. Sad news, but, I mean, come on, man. A 64-year-old man who was skeptical that the Earth really is round and wanted to fly up to the edge of space to see for himself died on Saturday in a crash of his homemade steam-powered rocket that launched and then plunged back to Earth seconds later in Barstow, California.
This all seems safe. This guy was known as sort of a daredevil, right?
He was, yeah. Right. The Science Channel tweeted that it had been chronicling Mad Mike Hughes' journey and sent thoughts and prayers to his family and friends, saying it was always his dream to do this launch.
I watched a documentary about this guy.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hughes had launched himself 1,875 feet into the air March 2018, coming back down with parachutes, but still injuring his back in a hard landing. He was also a limo driver who had the Guinness World Record for the longest limousine ramp jump at 103 feet in the Lincoln Town Car Stretch Limousine in 2002.
But you know what he was doing, Preston? He was doing exactly what you say all the time when flat earther thing pops up.
Yeah.
So if you could just see if you could get up into space, you could see the curve of the planet.
Yeah.
Well, he tried.
Yep.
And he got killed.
So he was a flat earther?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I mean, so. I wonder if he did, though, get high enough to say, oh, my God, it's wrapped.
And then, boom. God, he had the moment of revelation.
Son of a bitch.
Moment
of
course. Before his death.
Or maybe it was the moment of, like, self-fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is flat. I'm going to tell everybody.
Yep.
And also really hard.
Gone. Yep. All right. Hang on to your crotch on this one, gang.
All right.
A Utah college athlete went viral this week after sharing a cringeworthy video of his pole vaulting jump.
Oh, my God. I saw this picture.
That went horribly wrong.
You guys need to see this.
I do not.
Brigham Young University pole vaulter Zach McHorter was practicing a stunt when his landing did not go as planned, as seen in a TikTok that the 21-year-old shared of the incident. McHorter runs down the track with the pole in his hand, leaps off the ground, and accidentally impales his scrotum with the pole while preparing to dismount.
It looks like he's a giant swizzle stick.
He captioned the video, "That one time the pole went through my nuts," revealing that he needed to get 18 stitches after the incident.
I'm surprised there are nuts left.
Yeah. As of Friday, his social media clip had been viewed more than 18 million times.
Oh, my balls!
The athlete told BuzzFeed that he could see, quote, right into his scrotum after suffering the injury.
You never want to see right into your scrotum.
McHorter also released a photo of his shorts following the incident, which show a large hole where the pole punctured his body. He added that his father and coach happens to be a urologist and was able to assist him following the accident. He said immediately after the incident, we got in his car, drove to the hospital, and he sewed me up.
Wow. He says his dad keeps a spare set of testicles in the glove compartment.
McHorter then shared that as far as he knows, he only suffered minor damage to the area. He said, there's nothing wrong with my testicles. It's just a scar now.
How do your balls survive?
I don't know.
Again, check out the picture and ask yourself, should your balls walk away from that?
Yeah.
Something similar happened to my dad with a surfboard. They had to airlift him off of the beach when he was young before
he had any balls?
Yes, with his balls.
Wow.
Your dad is like Forrest Gump, man. I mean, like, you know, every now and then we hear a story of something that, you know. Oh, and that time I slept with Janis Joplin.
My dad went into space, too.
Oh my God.
Built his own rocket.
Hey, and listen, speaking of my dad, NBC 10 is doing a whole feature on the story that we talked about where we found out that my grandfather had had another child that nobody knew about. My dad has this brother. So Tuesday night at 11 o'clock.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jim Rosenfield actually came off of the anchor desk to do the story with my dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Please remind us because we want to watch it.
Yeah. Jim's going to stop by on Tuesday.
And then we got to have your dad on to talk about some of this stuff or something. So,
okay.
All right. Anyway, a man who tried to steal, listen and follow this story. A man who tried to steal goats from a farmer in Stafford County, Virginia, pretended to be intoxicated and gave deputies a false name. Uh-huh. The farmer told deputies his wife had gone to check on their goats Friday night and saw that they were let out of their pen. She suspected there was someone hiding in their field. Her husband then found the suspect, 19-year-old Cole Schrock, and held him at gunpoint until deputies arrived. Now, when deputies got there, the farmer told them that he thought the suspect was intoxicated and trying to steal his goats. Deputy said Schrock was slurring his words and initially gave them a false name.
My name is Barack Obama.
The suspect later admitted to pretending to be intoxicated, which deputies confirmed with a breath test.
Wow. Wow, he actually passed.
Deputies found three goats tied up next to the suspect's nearby pickup truck. At one point, the farmer realized the suspect had recently bought a few goats from him. He said he hadn't recognized Schrock at first because of the hood covering his face. Schrock has been arrested and charged with larceny of animals. So he felt the right thing to do at the time is to pretend to be wasted.
Goat thief.
And be someone else. And he's actually a goat thief. All right, one last thing. I got this from a police blotter. So they list the, you know, small towns will list the various infractions
right.
and encounters that police have over the course of a week. So here's two stories from whatever town this is. Two separate reports of shots fired were determined to be false. The first incident occurred at Skyline Chili. A man called police at approximately 4:30 p.m. stating four people in a white sedan in the parking lot had rolled down a window and shot at him. An investigation ensued, and police later determined the man was suffering from some type of psychotic episode.
At Skyline Chili.
So that was episode one. Another shots fired called in approximately 10:30 p.m., this time from a woman. She told dispatchers she had been shot in the shoulder. When police arrived, they determined the woman had not been shot, but stung or bitten by some type of insect.
Shot, stung, very similar.
She was treated by EMS, and no charges were filed in either case.
I feel so silly.
And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you now. Hey, we have this movie screening coming up. It's a new Pixar film called Onward. It stars Tom Holland and Chris Pratt. We have a screening on Monday, March 2nd, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. And I can take five people right now. Let's make it six.
Yes.
And we'll set you up with some tickets. 215. In fact, there are four packs of tickets.
Ooh.
215-263-WMMR. We'll put you on the list. Don't forget you need to be there by 6:30. And Onward will hit theaters nationwide on Friday, March 6th. So let's take care of you. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. A little bit later on, Gavin O'Connor, director of the film The Way Back with Ben Affleck, will be in our studio. We'll return shortly.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You know what? I have a couple of stories that are local in nature or
yeah.
in our general vicinity. So they're not really connected to each other in any other way. But I think that it might be worth taking a stroll down the city beat.
The city beat.
Scoobity-scoo. Wow.
We haven't
it's
done...
It's time to pound the pavement with the knower and seer of all things in and around town.
I just created this voice, yeah.
And the city beater, I guess. I don't know.
He's beating off every day, beating off every night. City beat.
Master beater.
So the Fanatic, the Philly Fanatic, our good, wonderful, beautiful green friend from the Galapagos Islands.
Yes.
Had a bit of a makeover recently. Now, I'm assuming we're going to be seeing him.
We saw yesterday.
In about a week and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Us physically, well, we are in we're in Clearwater for spring training. We're headed there for live broadcasts like we've done the past 2 years.
I bet the farm on it.
And I would imagine we're going to see the new and improved Fanatic. Have you guys taken a look at them yet?
Yes.
I have not.
So there are pictures. There are a lot of side-by-sides up on social media. There are some adjustments. Mm-hmm. Nothing tremendous, but he seems to have some sort of scale-like things that run along his arms.
They're right. Subtle, the difference.
Subtle, yes.
He was at spring training yesterday.
Color changes, and apparently his ass is bigger.
All right, so the revamp was unveiled before the Phils played the Pirates in the home opener and includes flightless feathers rather than fur-covered arms, stars outlining the eyes, a larger posterior, as yes. you said, Steve, a larger butt.
Better to crap with.
And a powder blue tail, blue socks, and red shoes, plus a set of scales under the arms. So they made a little bit of a change.
It's just a little polish. It's what it looks like to me.
Casey had initially asked this morning when we had mentioned this off air. He said, "Well, do you think they're getting a little intimidated by Gritty taking all of the all the press right now?"
I have a different take on it.
Okay, what's that?
I think it's might be a legal move.
It is.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's because the team and the creators of the mascot have been sparring in court ahead of a June 15th expiration of a 35-year-old copyright agreement that the couple that created the whole
right.
Fanatic character have. So designers Bonnie Erickson and Wade Harrison, by the way, who also created Miss Piggy for the Muppets.
Right, so they're no pikers.
Yeah, say that they alone made the Fanatics character and backstory when they were contracted to create the costume in 1978. And we gave the history of this story a while back.
And it sort of seemed, initially we're like, oh, come on. But then it sort of seemed like they have a case.
It seems legit.
Yeah,
it seems like they came up with most of the idea of the character and the background. I mean, you know, I forgot who the owner of the Phils was at the time.
It was Bill Giles.
Who wanted something done. But he gave them the most vague of ideas, and then they created this around that.
Make it lovable.
Right. Yeah. Something along those lines, I guess.
They had Phil and Phyllis as the mascots, and they were abject failures. And they came up with this guy who's been an enormous success. Mm-hmm. And I understand their argument as well, because the Phillies really have made a lot of money on the Fanatic over the number of years that he's been in existence. And I think these people are just rightfully due some of that.
Yeah. And listen, if this is part of the whole legal battle, or really a little bit of blue feathers are not completely changing
all
the
right,
design.
It's an entirely different
there.
Animal, Kathy. Yeah. There's no correlation between this and the Fanatic of yore.
They look almost identical.
Why, look. His laces are done in a different way.
I don't even see the scales.
There's little flaps under his arms. You see the little scaly type things.
Yeah,
but I mean, because also you don't want to kill a beloved mascot.
Whatever happens,
they'll work it out.
They have to.
Yes,
the Fanatic cannot be anywhere else and cannot disappear. Certainly.
Listen, I love Gritty. Gritty is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the Fanatic is royalty.
I read something yesterday that said the Fanatic walked so that Gritty could run.
Okay.
Yes.
I believe that to be true. The Gritty would not exist, and Gritty's awesome as well, but Gritty would not exist if not for the Fanatic.
Yeah. Tom Burgoyne, who is the Fanatic's very close friend, said that he's still the same old Fanatic, just with a little more sachet in him.
And maybe he doesn't have that rancid smell of sweat.
He noted that the mascot's fur color, jersey, hat, and overall look have changed a little bit over the years. I would imagine, if you looked at the Fanatic in those first few years, it would look
decidedly
different.
It was the 70s, mutton chops.
Well, his nose was skinnier.
Yeah.
His snout was skinnier. Yeah, I mean, and when you look at him from the 70s, he looks different.
Yeah.
He's done collagen, clearly.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's aged.
Well, why not?
Botox, fillers.
Most people are doing that.
Cool sculpting.
But, yeah, it would be weird if they tried to do any kind of dramatic change. But I think, Kathy, you're right. They're grasping at straws.
If that's what it is, it is actually because of the legal.
Do you know what invariably does not work when they try any sort of humanoid mascot?
Yes.
They all look frightening.
Yeah.
They look like mutated humans, and it's horrible.
I don't even like the mascots, Steve, that are shaped like human bodies. Like, they don't do much padding on the mascot themselves.
Right, right. God bless, certain mascots in the city, but where it looks like some sort of bizarre Greek mythological creature with a human body.
But I mean, there is a very, very subtle art to being a good mascot. And, believe me, I was a mascot in my high school. And it's hard. Like, you have to be on all the time. Everything's got to be big, right? Like,
yes.
It's like, you know, being
it's
on
very theatrical.
Everything's theatrical. I saw a series of photos, or it might have been a video on Twitter. Oh, my gosh. I wish I could remember what. It might have been Colgate University. But the girl goes, this is me in my very, very brief stint as mascot of, you know, I think it was Colgate. And it was like her just kind of like standing in a corner and then like her standing in another spot and then literally just sitting in the bleachers by herself. And it's like, yeah. You can't do that.
You're not a spectator. Yes.
They need to have somebody like that, Casey, where they have like oversized cigarettes, where they're just sitting in a corner, leg crossed over, and they're just puffing on a smoke.
And a cell phone. Yeah. A big foam rubber cell phone that they're checking.
I love it.
I was hired to be the B of B101 when I was in college.
Yeah?
And listen, man, I was a terrible human being in college, and I woke up hungover from my first gig, and I didn't go in. And I called out.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God, are you serious?
Kathy,
you got fired from B101?
I got fired.
He didn't even work there.
Yeah, I didn't even work my first gig. Oh, I called them. I was like, oh, I can't get a car. That was my dumb excuse.
I'm not done pollinating.
But with that said, we need a mascot. Mascot uniforms are really, really expensive. I've looked into it.
We tried to get one done. Wow. That was for the Preston scab eating.
Yeah.
It looked like a large pepperoni. It was horrible.
It was terrible, but it just goes to show you that there is, I mean, it's hard to come up with a decent, A, mascot, yes, and then B, costume for said
you know,
mascot.
You know who did a great job was the kid who played Delco Bear. At the at the camp out.
Yeah, he was from Newman University. But he just put on a generic bear costume. He did great. He was
right.
Very,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
large in his movements.
Gestures, yes, were gigantic. And he did exactly what he needed to do. The costume was kind of goofy, but it was for a goofy thing.
Yeah,
it was Delco
but
Bear.
But if you're saying, like, building a costume, yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, I can't even imagine what we would come up with as a costume that would last. I mean, like, the scab thing came and went, you know, right, what I mean? But I guess there'd have to be something gadzooks.
How about Annabelle?
Something gadzooks.
Annabelle the doll.
Something that would have to do with the term gadzooks, because that has stuck with us for more than...
Like Zuki, you know?
For a long time. Zuki?
Yeah.
What?
Okay,
what?
What if it was zucchini, and he would be gadzooki?
No, the kids will love that.
Zuki the
a
zucchini.
A giant zucchini.
Kids love zucchini. Yeah.
I love gadzooki.
Why is that zucchini coming out to us?
Gadzooki. Just spitballing here, guys.
I know.
The St. Joe's Hawk gets full scholarship, right?
My friend was a St. Joe's Hawk, yes.
A full scholarship?
Full scholarship, yeah.
That's hard. It's not easy to do.
But you have to audition, because if you notice... They flap their wings for the entire game.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And they have to go to class in that costume.
And I like that. I love the never ending flapping of the wings. I think it's cool. But that's kind of all you do is that mascot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to yuck it up and you know, doing pretending and miming and stuff like that. You just pretty much do this the whole time.
My arms are tired.
And I understand if you go to St. Joe's and the Hawk is beloved at St. Joe's, but there's not a whole lot to that. I mean, your arms are going to get tired, no question. Yep. It's physically going to be difficult to
do. It's like cheerleaders with their pom-poms when they're just kind of staying.
I know.
Stop it!
I hate that.
Oh. I thought your ASMR would love it, though.
Nah, not really. No. But I mean, just that's all they do.
I'm sure I'll catch.
That's not all they do, but
cash crap for this. But the Nittany Lion for Penn State—that's a pretty lame mascot. It's just it's barely a costume. It's worse than the Delco Bear.
It looks like the Delco Bear, basically.
Really?
And it's a low rent version of the Delco Bear, and he'll do push ups. I think when the Lions score a touchdown.
And you're talking about a huge university.
Yeah,
they could do a little better.
No, honestly, we're looking at a picture of it that. They can do better.
Yeah, that's terrible.
We can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. Do they do? He does one arm push ups, right?
Maybe, and he'll do some crowd surfing when they score.
Does some squat thrusts, a little Pilates.
Yeah, so he's an athletic line.
He does some crunches, Nick. I think he does a few squat thrusts.
He's got nice abs
and some kettlebells.
Here's a text that came in. If we were looking for a mascot, it just says, "I have a monkey costume. MMR rocks."
Really?
Ted from Frankfurt. Well, thank you, Ted.
Is he offering it to us?
I don't know. He's just says he's just like
he's boasting.
He has a monkey costume.
I have a monkey costume.
Uh-huh. right. You know what? Yeah, somebody says Pierre is enough of a mascot of all for all WMMR. I wouldn't mind seeing a Pierre because he's got enough of a look about him where you could create a human type mascot,
like from The Wizard of Oz. He could be our lion with his mane.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, they've done a makeover on the Fanatic, and
right.
I don't know what
I don't know what that's going to do in court. If that's if that's going to offset some of the stuff, I tend to agree with Kathy.
Why not just to pay the people? You know, to like settle it. You know,
who knows?
They don't. Who knows?
All right. Well, let's stroll down the parkway a little bit more and see what else we can find in the city beat here.
Wow.
I hope I remember this for next time.
Zappadoo wow.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. Some area high schools in Pennsylvania, when it comes to placing graduates at elite universities of Harvard, Princeton, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, making some ways. Polaris List, which is a matriculation data aggregator.
Of course it is.
Updated their rankings, and they pulled records from graduating classes at Harvard, Princeton, and MIT between 2015 and 2018 to determine which high schools and preparatory schools contribute the most students. So, locally, Conestoga High School in Berwyn, what? Nick's alma mater, the Episcopal Academy and Newtown Square, and the Haverford School in Haverford each had 15 students.
My dad's a Haverford grad.
Land there, yeah.
None of us went to Harvard, though.
No.
I went there. Yeah, you went there twice, right?
Twice,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
They've made the list. And
Nick has a seven-year degree.
The schools tied up, for the most in Pennsylvania, but they ranked number 104 nationally. So it's, yeah.
Do you think private school is worth it?
I have no idea.
I mean, Episcopal and Haverford School are both great schools, and they have a high percentage of graduates that go to Harvard and MIT and Princeton, as evidence in this study. But, man, is it a lot of money for high school.
It helps in preparing you for it.
Yeah.
So they call it a prep school for a reason.
Okay.
And so the courses and all that sort of stuff, if you're a good student, if you're Harvard or MIT or Yale or whatever bound, said schools will get you, I think, more prepared than right. maybe some other places.
But, I mean, Conestoga is free by comparison, you know?
Right.
And so I'm not saying this with any bias or anything like that. I just don't know if it's worth the tens of thousands of dollars.
Complete rip. No. I know what you're saying, though. There's some schools that are, it depends. It depends on the school.
Anybody have a ballpark on tuition for some of these private schools?
Some of them are like colleges.
Episcopal's in the 30s. I know that.
Yep.
Yeah, here we go. Haverford School, $38,800.
I mean, it's high school.
A year.
You know, it's a great school with a lot of opportunities at the end of your graduation, but that's so much money to spend per year for a high school student.
Son, you're pretty stupid, so I'm not going to spend $35,000 to verify what I already know.
And could you imagine if your kid went and just wasted all of that
bombed
money
out
for you? Man, Marissa...
I could have had a car.
I went to private school.
Yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Yeah.
She's doing great. But no. I mean that you probably had the makings. You had the you've always been a go-getter. I'm sure you were in high school as well.
Yeah, it opens you up to opportunities. It's another network. For sports it's good, like an Episcopal or
right.
Penn Charter or GA. All have great interact.
There's a saying that goes, wherever you go, there you are, right?
Yeah.
And I think that applies to, you know, like I went to Catholic school, and a lot of people think that that's private school. It is not private school. I would have probably have been the same student at Strathaven that I was at Cardinal O'Hara. Same thing goes for college, right? We were just talking a couple of minutes ago about what a reject I was in college. But take me out of her sinus and put me in another school setting, I'm going to be the same person there that I was at her sinus. So to answer your question, Nick, I think for a lot of people, especially Harvard, MIT-bound people, I don't necessarily think it really, really matters where you go.
Right.
Because you're going to be that student no matter where.
Hmm.
I will say, you guys think I'm kind of cool, but this chick from Monco that never finished college has never been in the alumni magazine.
What?
So I guess my high school.
You've never been in the alumni magazine?
I guess not.
What horrific thing did you do?
Of my high school. Hmm.
Are you on the notable alumni list, Marissa? Because I never made that for Conestoga either.
No, definitely not.
What was your high school? I always forget.
Springside.
Really? And that's a really small student body, right?
Yeah. So who are some of the creeps on the list?
I don't know. I just wait for my mom to tell me the people.
Listen, that's not a crime. I don't think I'm on the notable alumni list either.
I don't think my school has no idea I even went to it. they just don't care.
In fairness, Marissa, there is no list for Springside Academy, so you're okay. All right.
No,
all right.
No list that they want you to know about.
Wow.
Don't tell Marissa.
So Conestoga had 5 students attend Harvard, 3 at Princeton, and 7 at MIT.
Huh.
Damn.
Of those 3 schools, what do you find most impressive when you hear the name Harvard, Princeton, MIT?
At this point, I think Harvard's gone through a whole bunch of BS lately with stuff going on. I think MIT.
Then me too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. Me 3.
I mean, it's just the you know, the genius that comes out of there as far as creating.
Didn't Matt Cord's dad go to MIT?
Oh, I don't know.
Matt Cord went to MIT.
And so did his, I think, nephew.
Okay.
Also, the ability to get a job if you graduate from MIT versus Harvard and Princeton, not that you're going to be struggling for work in all likelihood from Harvard or Princeton, but you have a trained skill. You know, you're learning tech skills graduating from MIT.
Photography.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have to be brilliant to get into each of these schools?
No. In many cases, honestly, and it's one of the big things that they have to fight. It's who you are. Who are your parents?
You have to be,
and that happens quite a lot.
I think you have to be more brilliant to maybe get into MIT than you do to the Ivy League school.
You have had to spend at least 1 year performing as the B-101 bear.
But you do have to meet their requirements.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You got to meet the scholastic requirements. But then you've got to get ahead of everybody.
Not even still. If you look at like the Varsity Blues scandal and so on and so forth, a lot of times they'll pad the ranks. They play the same games that the schools play that were participating in the varsity.
But they're not going to let an average.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah, they will.
If that average student is the son or daughter of an ambassador or somebody who has carries a lot of political weight, they'll bend the rules.
Well, and I know that they also have like programs that anybody can go and sign up for and take like a class or some sort of. You know, maybe you're not receiving credits or something like that. So technically you can say you took a class.
I'd like to do that.
Or you had training at Harvard.
I want to go to Princeton.
Yeah.
Because it's close enough. Yeah. I could go do that. I could
go to Princeton, spelled with an S.
Yeah.
So Princeton or Harvard, E-R-D, right?
Maybe I could go, you know, take an advanced scuba diving course.
Why did you?
And then you say you trained at Princeton.
At Princeton.
Why did you take astronomy? Didn't you take an astronomy course?
I did.
And you found out it was a ton of
oh my God.
Math?
I'm like, this is hard.
This is, what? I just want to look up in the sky.
Yeah. Oh my God. We used to regularly get stone baked out of our minds before going to astronomy class.
So imagine if you're a parent paying $35,000 to send your kid to high school and they're getting stone.
Oh, my parents. If they would have spent money on me for school. Oh my God. What a waste.
Only, I got a scholarship simply because I happened to live in a town where they were building another satellite school from the school I was going to. Wow. And so they gave sort of a grant to the people who lived in this area. That was it.
The Haverford School placed 6 at Harvard, 5 at Princeton, and 4 at MIT. 6 New Jersey schools ranked among the top 100 in the country. So they actually, there's some great schools in New Jersey. The Lawrenceville School in Mercer County had 86 students to attend the 3 schools, ranking number 4 nationwide.
Didn't you do a survey, too, that said that that New Jersey was the smartest state in the union?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Princeton High School followed close behind at number 7 with 74 students going to those various schools.
Say a lot of that intellect is developed in learning how to crack the code of the jug handle. Right?
Yes,
it's problem solving, puzzle solving at an early age.
Oh, my God. I told you we went to Collingswood last weekend, and I have ways on to get where we're going, and you know you can scroll and actually look at the map and see the course where it's going to take you, and there were so many bizarre twists and turns, and the roads shoot off in 4 different directions. You got to take the second one to the left that heads off this way. And I'm like, without Waze, I would have never let my children into the state of New Jersey to drive until they were 25 years old.
And then nothing makes you as irate as, I can see it. It's right there.
Yeah.
How do I get to it?
Hang on. John went to MIT. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Well, I went to MIT, like you just said, to go take a scuba diving class. I went and took a volleyball clinic.
and you could pay money to get a one graduate credit for phys ed.
So a quick question.
One graduate phys ed class from MIT.
Can you say then at that point you graduated MIT?
No, I just tell people I did graduate work at MIT.
There you go. At MIT. Dude, John, tell me you have an MIT T-shirt somewhere or something like that.
Oh, yes. I have a tie that I wear all the time. I'm from Council Rock South. I was the coolest teacher back in 2008.
Nice.
So I'm a math teacher, and I tell everybody I'm the only math teacher in the district that did graduate work at MIT.
That's brilliant.
So, and do people, are they amply impressed when you say that?
Well, they are until they push me a little bit further to find out it was volleyball.
Listen, volleyball class.
You learn state-of-the-art volleyball at MIT. Don't take that for granted.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love it, John. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, a friend of mine is taking a business course at Harvard right now. Okay. But it's not, like, I think it's, like I said, I think it's just some sort of, like, training course or seminar.
I went to Delaware County Community College and took an investment class just to learn what I didn't know about investing. So you can do these elective classes at various
and now
colleges,
you handle my stock portfolio.
I do.
Now you're an expert.
All I did was my financial planner is the teacher of the class. That's what ended up happening.
Oh,
you hired the teacher.
And I'm sure that's why he was teaching there in the first place, so he could hook some guy like me and says, I don't understand this. Can I pay you to do it for me?
You're too stupid.
The syllabus is
can you teach me astronomy too? Sure.
Wasted my money on the class and hired the teacher.
Can you point my telescope at Neptune?
That was like 15 years ago. He's still our financial planner. It's awesome.
It's the best scam in the world.
Well, listen, I'd mentioned New Jersey. We're gonna saunter down the avenue and we're gonna head across the Ben Franklin Bridge. It's still the city beat.
Scoobly wah wah.
And Nick pulled up this story that apparently one Mr. Paul McCartney was just kind of hanging out in New Jersey over the weekend.
Billy, 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 Billy.
Where was he, Nick?
I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. Is it Metuchen?
Maybe.
It's in a Middlesex township, and he was just hanging out outside of bakery, the Buttery Bake Shop.
Shut up.
It's the Buttery Bake Shop in Metuchen, you know.
Buttery. And he was just taking pictures with a whole bunch of fans.
I love the bear claws here. Buttery. They use fondant.
Man, the guy does not age.
No, he's in fantastic shape.
Because I eat a lot of baked goods.
Well, maybe, but no, he's a vegan and.
This cookie's just like ebony and ivory.
We, our former company that owned the radio station, we Steve and I were having dinner with the CEO of the company. And
he had
met Paul. He's a very wealthy man,
yes.
and can stay in the most palatial places. And they were, they may have been in the Four Seasons or something like that. And Paul was staying at the same place, and they had run into each other and gotten a conversation and become friendly.
Yeah.
And Paul ended up doing yoga with Peter, and they, he said Paul was unbelievable, Kathy, at the yoga poses and things that he does. Yeah, like he's very, very into physical fitness.
Oh, well, I want to do yoga with him now.
And
well, it's just I'll play with the bass with my testicles.
there he goes. And taking care of his body and all that stuff. It's his mission.
He's been a vegetarian, I think, now vegan now for years, and that's been his whole deal. But I mean, he's always supposedly, everyone who encounters him, you have the nicest guy. So imagine if you're in front of that Buttery Bakery.
Yeah.
Metuchen, right? Is that how it's pronounced?
Metuchen or Metuchen or something like
that. It's Metuchen. In New Jersey.
How would you handle yourself if you just saw him?
I think I'd do what you do. Come up behind him and pick him up.
Yeah.
Hey!
I'd want to hug the guy.
What the hell is this?
I just want to thank him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, for everything that he's done for so many people on the planet.
Maybe
I wouldn't want to be weird about it, but that's what I would want to do.
Well, because, your idea is to, hey, maybe I'll come over and I'll say something to this guy, and who
that
knows?
He's never heard.
Maybe we'll hit it off.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll become buddies.
Hey, you do escape rooms too. Let's do one together.
But
this one, you're escaping the Cavern Club.
But the way to hit it off with someone of that fame is not to come over and say I'm a huge fan, because that's
right.
You've automatically eliminated the possibility of becoming having a personal connection with them.
That's just heading to Floral and Hardy.
But then again, how do you try to?
You know, that's what you do.
You just
do
the opposite.
You're the opposite.
Oh. You kept Ringo back for so long.
I mean, do you come over and pretend like you don't know who he is and say something? Sorry, do you have any gum I could, you know, bum from you or something like that? Or
I want to hold your gum. I think what you do is you play it. I don't want to bother you. A huge fan. Thank you so much for years of entertainment.
And that's just,
can I buy you something buttery?
That's you just wanting to legitimately just pass along
right.
your thanks.
I know this means nothing to you. I know I'm a bug. I'm worse than a bug. I'm bug. I'm the crap that comes out of the bug's ass. But I just want to tell you how much I love you.
Maybe like, you don't know who he is? You say something like, I heard you speaking with an English accent. I'm actually going to England next week. Is there anywhere where he can...
That's
not
you
bad. Haven't been to Liverpool?
To. Yeah. That's not bad,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. I mean,
a random stranger now! You liar! I can't stand being lied to. Give me back my buttery bun.
By the way, it's called Metuchen, or that's how you pronounce
it. That's how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Metuchen.
Metuchen. That's what Metuchen...
McCracken?
Yeah, that's just Phil McCracken and Joe Metuchen.
Yeah. That's not bad, Casey. I'm sorry.
This is Emerson Biggins.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I heard you speaking with an English accent, and I've always wanted to go to London.
Yeah. I'm going to London.
I know that you know that I'm Paul McCartney, so why don't you cut it out? Because let's face it, no one on this planet doesn't know who I am, and I hate being lied to.
Is he?
I know you. You played the B-101 Bear.
Is he the most famous person on the planet?
He's got to be up there, I assume, next to Michael Madsen.
I mean, the Pope is probably up there.
The president.
I wonder, yeah. Nick, to that point, who, what they call, they used to call it the Q rating. I don't know, locally, that's what they call it. They probably call it that as well, which just identifiability. Mm-hmm. So would, at this point, Paul McCartney still be able to be recognized by the most people on Earth? Who do you think holds that?
Or are there people in cultures that we're not really in touch with?
Right.
Like China, you know, that have really dense...
The wrestler.
Population. No, not China, the wrestler. China, the country. that have personalities we don't even know about that may have instant recognition upon, you know, a billion people or more.
I was thinking like Pacquiao or Cristiano Ronaldo or somebody like Messi.
Like maybe Pele was.
Right.
At certain points also, because I think when you had more people following a smaller group of media outlets, now there's just so many, I don't know. But who yeah. maybe Paul McCartney would certainly have to rank up in the top 20.
Yeah.
Right? It's freaking Paul McCartney.
Wouldn't it be wild if he was eclipsed by, like, Ceiling Cat or something?
Yeah,
like
Ceiling
that.
Cat, yeah.
Some weird
Roomba Cat.
A meme.
Yeah.
Or something.
Grumpy Cat.
PewDiePie.
Yeah, PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, anyway, Paul was hanging out. We don't know why, but you know what? Pierre just saw him. He was telling us the story. He was in New York.
That's right. He went to the show. Not Jackson Brown. What was it? What did Pierre?
I forgot. It was Talking Heads. It was David Byrne.
Yeah, David Byrne.
And he said Paul was sitting there eating a bag of buttery buns.
No, he was apparently right down front and having a great time. Yeah. And Pierre was just a few rows away from him.
He didn't want to bother him. That sort of thing where you're, if it passes though, and you let it get away from you without.
Yeah.
At least wanting to say quietly, I don't want to bother you. I'm just a big fan. And
yeah.
Thank you for all that you've done.
Well, that's cool that
for
he was in
my
there.
Life and for osteoporosis.
For osteoporosis?
What are you talking about? Whatever your charity is, I took a guess.
Yeah. All right,
like landmines or something like that.
Anyhow, these were a couple of things that I thought were worth bringing up that were kind of from our general zone.
Who fought Superman?
In the City Bone.
That was
City Bone?
Zod.
Zod.
The bone.
He said zone.
It's time for City Bone.
Yeah.
It's a porn report you should do, Preston.
I'm really tired, man.
City Bone.
My band had a gig Saturday night. Dude, I can get home and asleep till like 2:45 a.m. Do you have any idea for a guy who gets up at 4 a.m. how ridiculously stupid that is to be up that late?
It's inhuman.
Yeah. So somebody waited for your gig to be over to talk to you all night, too, in the parking lot?
Not in the parking lot, but there was a gentleman who wanted to tell me his life story as I loaded the last piece of equipment.
I'm a reporter for City Bone. Can I talk to you?
Yes. But I do want to thank Casey and Marissa and her boyfriend, Matt, and who else came out? Brent Porsche
couple of our former interns.
Very cool.
Intern Ed was there, and Mike Elena came by. And
we love Mike Elena.
Yeah, it was cool. We had a really good
and
time.
And Sabrina, you said?
Former intern Sabrina, and a lot of people I've never met before. JT Brewskis, they were super duper nice. That is full on 100% Delco there.
Yeah, it is,
buddy. No question. In fact, I did a Delco shout out, and the place went crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, we have a lot of pride in that neck of the woods there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It was cool, but we had a good time.
Maybe Paul McCartney will end up over there.
Wouldn't it be weird?
JT Brewskis.
Yeah, if he just popped up and jumped on stage. We do play Drive My Car. He could have come.
Ah. Well, when's the next? And possibly
last.
You're already talking comeback tour.
Last gig. You know what? We're going to talk about that next week.
All right.
Because we have a guest that's going to come in. It's a charity event, so we'll get to that later on. All right. Let's take a break and come back now. When are we having Gavin O'Connor in?
He should be here in about 10 minutes.
All right, perfect. Gavin O'Connor is the director of the film The Way Back. It stars Ben Affleck. He and Ben have worked together before, The Accountant.
The Accountant, and The Word is working on The Accountant, too.
Wow, so we can ask him about that. That's going to be in theaters March 6th, by the way. The Way Back will be. We'll return in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Our next guest has been here in our studio before, and he's back with a new project, and he's helmed some pretty awesome movies and shows. Miracle being one, Warrior, The Accountant, which I think was here to speak about last time. But today it's about The Way Back. We would like to welcome to our studio Mr. Gavin O'Connor.
Yeah.
Hey, Gavin, how you doing, man?
Very well. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're going to have to get nice and close to that mic. I know you're struggling with the little voice things.
Not a voice for radio.
Yeah. Or for a late night romance show, For love lines, it'd be perfect. Yeah. But welcome back. It's good
to
see you.
Casey thought maybe it was because of your lingering back problems that your throat was hurting.
That was an odd interpretation there.
It was not odd.
That was a first. Yeah.
No, because they have to kind of, because you had neck surgery.
Yes.
And they had to go in through the front, and sometimes when they do that, they have to kind of like move your vocal cords, and it can have long lasting effects. So
hence my voice.
Yeah.
Let's blame it on that.
It has nothing to do with that. You just have a little bit of a cold. But the movie, by the way, there's a whole confluence of things going on that's pretty amazing. Ben Affleck has conducted a number of interviews where he's talked about his struggles. He's been really awesome and candid, and we're friends with Kevin Smith, and he appeared in Jay and Silent Bob's reboot, and you're just seeing a guy who's, and it mirrors the story of The Way Back, and or one, you know, mirrors the other in a way, and this synergy and what he went through had to, you know, be so critical to his performances. Explain what The Way Back is about, and you'll see how it mirrors Ben Affleck's current situation.
Yeah, so And we can talk about his recovery and alcoholism, because he's been very upfront about
it. He's been very candid,
We're not saying anything he hasn't discussed himself.
Yeah.
The movie deals with an athlete who, you know, played basketball years ago, was a superstar in high school, got a scholarship to Kansas, and flamed out, just a washout.
For some reason, just walked away, right?
Yeah. Yeah, issues with his father
and
things like that. And then he started to live his life, and then there's a... which we discover late, about halfway into the movie, there was a tragedy that occurred in his life, which sort of triggered his alcoholism. So he started drinking again, and his whole world fell apart. And he's given an opportunity to come back and coach the high school team where he played, which I know could sound cliche, but I feel like we really handle it in a very nuanced way, and it goes in directions that you would never expect in these types of movies.
Ben Affleck actually tweeted about it and was lavishing praise on you and your ability to get a performance and see an angle. I'll talk about that nuance on something like this. These are two winners, I think, for most people when you're talking about the reclamation of a person, where they can come back, they find the way back, and sports movies, which are neophyte when it comes to that as well. So you have these two things that work well, because it's a micro and a macro. Even within one game, you can find your way back to victory. And in life, you can find your way back to victory. And I was reading an interview with Ben Affleck himself, and he said he felt such a recharge being part of this and being with these younger actors and some of the actors who are playing the basketball players, to see their their glee and their awestruck look at the movie industry that it reignited his love of it. Were you seeing that happen on set?
Yeah, he developed a really strong bond with these kids. You know, what was interesting is when we started shooting, the first day of principal photography, Ben had just gotten out of rehab.
Okay.
So during most of prep, he was in rehab. He was getting he would get these like furloughs.
Right.
He'd have a sober buddy who would take him out, and this way we can do all our work to prepare for the movie. And then he'd go back to rehab at night. So the first week of shooting, I did a lot of the drinking, and I had this very raw, very vulnerable actor who's now confronting the issues that he's been dealing with all these years, and he's using. And I'm really proud of Ben. He was sort of like, you know, all the demons that he had in his life and all the demons that the character had, as you were saying, there's sort of parallel. It's life imitating art and art imitating life, because Ben was using the stimuli from his real life, opening up the box of demons and letting them out vis-a-vis exactly what happened with the character. So, the alcoholism was something that he was,
sure,
in a way, healing in his recovery, because he was confronting it in the movie as well.
I love this. I love that. You know, it reminds me, there's a character, and everyone loves Hoosiers, and the character of Dennis Hopper is a character that just rips your heart out, because it's the same sort of thing. And so we always, I think by nature, we want to see someone who's been knocked down get back up again. And to have this so parallel, and you're saying just a day's difference out of rehab, that should make it an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah, it was really powerful. And the other thing, I think Ben got rejuvenated because, you know, he was a 19-year-old actor when he was in School Ties.
Yeah.
And now he's hanging out with all these teenage kids, early 20s.
Who revere him.
Yeah. And so he sort of became a mentor to all these kids. And I would, you know, when I'm moving cameras and relighting, he was always hanging out with the kids and talking to them and guiding them. And
that's wild.
It was really beautiful to see, yeah.
I want to draw a parallel to Steve brought up Hoosiers, which I think could be the greatest sports film of all time. It's my own personal opinion. Another great film you directed, Miracle. And two things that those films have in common is you took non-actors and you place them in the roles of the athletes. Yeah. Hoosiers, if you look at the credits of those kids that played basketball, they didn't do anything but the movie Hoosiers. That was it. They were basketball players, and they pulled it off wonderfully. Miracle, you took real hockey players, which was brilliant because they were fantastic, got them to train them to be able to act properly. It's a wonderful movie. Who are the guys playing the basketball, the high school students in this? Are they actors? Are they basketball players? Are they a little bit of both or just one or the other?
Yeah, they're a little bit of both. This was actually more challenging because I needed, there were so many layers to the story, and I needed kids who could obviously play basketball at a high school level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one thing. I didn't need, you know,
NBA stars.
NBA stars. You're
right.
But I needed kids who can act, because there were so many scenes off the court and even on the court where they had to deliver a performance. So fortunately, so many kids play basketball that unlike, you know, hockey, that it wasn't that difficult, except the harder part was just getting someone who had the right talent and also for each role and also was right for the part. So it was a long casting process.
What do you think is the hardest thing to teach somebody, acting or basketball?
I think basketball.
So I just got done coaching seventh graders, but and there was a marked improvement between the first practice and the last game. But it, you know, I think it's very, very difficult to try to mold people. I mean, just, you know, basic skills. You know what I mean? But I've also tried acting as well, and that's really, really, really. And I'm not talking about.
But you know the thing,
memorizing lines.
Kids these days are all acting with their iPhones.
You're right.
So I see these kids are so comfortable.
They're performing.
They're always performing. They're so comfortable in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So I
wanted to ask, because I was reading an interview with you, and you said you make the movie before you make the movie. So I'm wondering. So obviously you have a broad view of how you want it to come out. How much of the movie did you discover when you're actually making the movie? Because I know some directors are like, here we go, bum, 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 storyboard's done. And others are sort of experimenting and finding along the way.
Yeah, I always view it as an act of discovery. So the prep of the movie is getting all the your actors prepared, doing all the biography work, connecting emotional lines between all the characters, all the intention, subtext, and then getting all my department heads in line with, so we're all making the same movie.
Are you thinking to yourself, because you talked about this is a formula that has, you know, been done a lot in movies, but it always, when it works great, and nothing can uplift people like seeing this kind of turnaround. But are you in your mind thinking, how can I show basketball in a different way? Yeah. How can I not repeat shots that are, you know, iconic from other films or whatever? Is that did you feel the weight of that?
I did, yeah. And I quickly discovered that there's not a lot of different ways, like
right, yeah.
artistic ways to shoot basketball, because right. I started doing them like, no one's going to know what the heck is going on right
How
now.
How would Fellini do this?
Because you need to understand yeah. geography. It's like shooting action.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted it to feel visceral. I wanted it to feel immediate. It was a very subjective film. I shot it subjectively. But, you know, the basketball... I want it to feel like a high school basketball game.
Right.
But just the geography of it, how you cover it, you really can't get too crazy.
Right. Because that goes to action scenes in movies, too. A lot of times when you get too artistic in an action, you've done, we love The Accountant, and glad to hear there's a sequel in the works. But sometimes when they try to artsy it up, you can't tell what's going on, it frustrates the crap out of an audience.
I agree. I think understanding, you know, and this is just an unconscious thing. The audience has to be aware of geography, know where you are at all times. Otherwise, you could feel upside down, and then you pull the audience out of it.
Right, right.
Gavin, I want to give a shout out to Brad Inglesby. He's a local guy. My brother actually grew up with him, and he wrote Out of the Furnace, and then he wrote the screenplay for The Way Back. And his brother's the coach at UD. My dad has known his dad for a long time, so it's cool to see Brad Inglesby doing as well with this movie, with The Way Back. When dealing with a screenwriter, how much, just for me, if you could peel back the curtain a little bit, like when you go into that and you have a raw script, how much do you then change it? How much stays and becomes the movie itself? And you know, the finished product versus what you've read, you know, the first time around?
I mean, there were some changes, but the reason we all showed up is because, you know, Brad had sent this beautiful document that I read and loved, and then...
You were sold immediately?
Yeah, I was. I really fell in love with the material. It just broke the chains of a lot of these kind of sport genre films. That's the way it subverted a lot of expectations,
right?
Which I really liked, and it was a character study, and that's really what I wanted to make, is a character study. You know, once you decide to do something, then you work with a writer, and for me, I just have to make it personal. So there were some adjustments we made along the way. And
well, you're a writer yourself, so that's true. Got to help in that process.
I'm not as good a writer as Brad Inglesby.
Wow.
I'm not. I promise you. So like,
that's high praise.
You know, I think he's amazing. I love Brad. He's a dear friend, and he's also wildly talented. And so any of the changes that I wanted to make, I would ask Brad to do it, because he's going to, you know, if he's willing to execute it, he's going to do it better than I could. And plus, just respectfully, he wrote it. It started with him, so I would never do that.
As you start to build it, and we love so many of your films, you know, you're building your resume, so to speak, and you have your people, you know, you clearly work well with Ben Affleck. Do you start, do projects come to mind now? Does this portend more Ben Affleck work down the line? Because he also produces, and he is no slouch in the director department as well.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of relationship that creates future prospects? Or I don't know how fully how it works in Hollywood.
If it's the right material, you know, Ben and I would, you know, we'd like to find something else to do together if it's the right piece of material, and he's right for the part and I'm right for the, you know, to direct it. I do, you know, it's funny. I had dinner last night with Inglesby, with Brad, and you know, we were talking about trying to find something else to do together, another movie to do.
Because you enjoy that. I mean, when you know you collaborate well with someone, it's got to be the best experience.
It's rare to find someone that you just, it's an aesthetic, it's a taste thing. And Brad and I definitely live on the same side of the street with just an artfulness of how we approach story. And also blue-collarness, working-class people.
We love that. World. And you in interviews you've done with Ben Affleck, you can see you guys laughing and having a good time. And there's an unspoken thing that I really must serve a director and the director and the directed, you know?
Well, you know, with Ben, it just becomes about trust. And he definitely, you know, he trusts me. So, like, we were doing things, and I would always ask him to try. So I asked him to try some crystal.
Sorry. Yeah.
Screw him.
But that's real.
Screw him. Yeah. But I will try that. he's a great guy. And I enjoy the process with him very much.
It was the 40-year anniversary of The Miracle on Ice this weekend. And I love the speech that Kurt Russell gives as Herb Brooks. I tweeted it out because ESPN put it on their feed over the weekend. How much of that speech is fictionalized, and how much of it is Kurt Russell, and how much of it is you?
A lot of it was actually was Herb.
Was it really?
A lot of that speech, yeah.
It's really one of the great locker room speeches in a movie of all time, and you would hope that it's it really reflects what Herb was saying
kids. The thing I discovered, and the movie became like Rashomon for me, because the more I started to talk to Herb and Jack O'Callaghan and Jimmy Craig and Aruzzi, I would start asking all these guys the same questions, and I'd get different answers.
Everyone had a different perspective.
So it became this Rashomon thing, which was liberating because it allowed me to open things up and not make it so much of this as historical document that everyone knew because people had their own perspective on it.
Yeah.
Gavin, the emotion in that movie, I can sum up in 1 3-second clip of Miracle. And I love it. And I always have, if the movie's on, I'm like, wait, here it is right here. And it's as the seconds are ticking down, they're about to win. And I forgot which player it's supposed to be. But it's a shot of him. He bangs on the boards and goes, "Woo!" And I'm like, "That's it. That is it. That is it. That's all of it right there." He did such a great job with that film.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It was a pleasure making it.
With the way back, is this also, you talk about a character study. Does this also delve into, you know, big man on campus and life doesn't turn out the way that one had anticipated that it would with all that momentum? To come back for redemption, or
I mean, big man. In high school, the movie doesn't look back that much. It's always moving forward because we learn some of his backstory, but it's really about a guy who's just this. It's a very specific event that occurs in his life that it's unimaginable that he goes through, and that triggers because he had been sober for a lot of years. Obviously, he has the disease, but he triggers the alcoholism and he starts drinking again, and then he isolates himself and cuts himself off from everybody, and then. When this opportunity arises, he's faced with and having to confront his own alcoholism because if he keeps drinking the way he drinks, he's never going to be able to coach.
And die. I mean, so we've all been, you know, my brother has been sober for a number of years, and Casey's been very open about his deal coming back from that. When you hit your nadir, when you're absolutely at your lowest, and you just hope someone intercedes. Will someone intercede on this person's behalf and get them up and running? And then, so his Ben's character does have that person who steps forward and says, "Maybe you could do this." And we love to see that. But you know, as my brother found out, as he got the word out, about what he has been able to do and turn around, it inspires other people. I know Ben himself was saying that, you know, a tacit aspect of this thing, this movie, could be that people see anytime a movie like this comes out, people sometimes can find the strength to change their own life. Have you thought about that ripple effect that could occur with this?
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of sports. I mean, there's symbolism and metaphor running through the movie as well, because sports, I think more than anything, is a demonstration of what's inconceivable becomes conceivable.
Yeah.
The impossible is what no one can do until someone does it. And that's demonstrated most beautifully in sports, but you can apply that to life. And I think for people that are in the depth of their alcoholism and drinking, you think it's impossible to get sober.
Right.
It's impossible to find the road to recovery. And it can be done.
Right. And I think it's important to be able to find little victories and things like, you know, so this is I don't necessarily think this is a basketball movie. It's just it's a movie that has basketball as a background. And
exactly.
You know, they're not going to win all their games, but you can find little victories along the way. It was another thing. As a coach of a basketball team who didn't win many games this season, I thought we had a lot of victories along the way. And, you know, one of them being nobody ever gave up, you know. So,
but the other thing that I was definitely going for in the movie was, and I don't want to give too much away, but Ben's character, Jack, gets to parent again with these kids. Because when you're a high school coach, that's really being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity to be a parent again. And the other thing I think is important that we put our GPS on in the movie was that it's not only what Ben's character does, how he sort of infects these kids, but it's what the kids do to him.
Right.
It's a symbiotic thing that's going on between the coach and the kids. And they, in the end, they end up becoming a reflection of the coach. You know, their toughness is a reflection of what kind of, that's how he prepared these kids.
I wanted to ask also, because your name has been attached to the Green Hornet. Is that actually happening or no? That's just a rumor, huh?
No, it wasn't a rumor. It was, I was never able to find a studio that wanted to do the version that I wanted to do.
As a kid, I loved the Green Hornet because to me, the Green Hornet was sort of the way, Batman was with the Ben Affleck connection is that he was more inclined to say, okay, this is going to be a little dirty, but I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
And that was a cool part of that character. And you, what was your take?
There were no superpowers.
Yeah.
You know, which I like. I'm just, I'm just so, the tights and cape thing. I'm just
done with.
It's just every movie. That's why, like, our movie right now, you know, we need the love because, I go to these small films because if these little, the smaller movies don't perform at the box office, these movies won't get made. They won't get financed. So.
But you have, it is there. Like I always say, you make a good movie and people will find it, you know, and get
that. But it's an interesting thing now. Like, you know, it's so everyone's on their couch streaming everything these days. Yeah. So how do you get people off the couch to go to a movie? Unless it's, you know, these big tentpole films I get, or Mick movies, or, you know, things like that. But the smaller, it's just harder to get people off the couch.
Is that a conundrum you face? Because, yeah. I mean, because even I know, like, Spielberg was railing against allowing movies that premiered on Netflix to be considered, you know, theatrical releases, and there's this dynamic. Do you see this as an ineluctable inevitability here that you're just going to have to
act? I don't think we know yet.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's such a moving target right now.
Right.
You know, we're all just, everyone's discovering and figuring it out because the TV, the streaming platform has just changed the calculus of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you heard Gavin. Get off your couch. Get off your butt.
Yeah.
March 6th.
You want to hear the audience cheer with you.
Yeah.
That is when the film is opening. It is The Way Back, and it stars Ben Affleck. And like Steve said, we're delighted that it looks like The Accountant will maybe have a sequel. Is that for sure?
Well, it's either going to be a sequel or we may do it as a TV series.
Ooh.
Oh.
There's your streaming. Right. There you go. Best. So you got stuff for people on the couch and in the
exactly.
Theater. Nice, man. Listen, nice to see you again. Good luck with everything. And it looks like you got a great film on your hands.
It's great to be here with you guys again. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Gavin O'Connor, guys. Yeah! Way back, March 6th. That's when the movie's out. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
Here we go.
Here comes the MMRD.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata Wednesday from 7 to 9 at Bar League, 101 North 11th Street in Center City, for a Pacifico official cardboard classic free party. Enjoy $4 Pacifico drafts and register to win a Pacifico VIP Cardboard Classic experience with VIP access for four to watch the classic, an overnight stay, and lift tickets. Click events at WMMR.com for complete details.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
It is Free Music Monday. Mm-hmm. I have your chance to win a digital download of Father of All. Yeah, that's Green Day. 215-263-WMMR is our 13th studio album, so we'll take our 13th caller, and we'll give that to you. It is out now from Reprise Records, and you can hear Pierre Robert's interview with Billy Joe Armstrong on WMMR.com through the podcast, because he did
awesome.
A little chat session with Billy, who is just in the Lancaster area with Trey and
his wife Marissa Magnata,
Mike Dern. Yeah, and no, they're just dating.
Oh, they're just dating. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Oh, Billy,
it's Bizarre File time. So let's do it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by McGuff Bus Company. If you're looking to earn extra income in your retirement, McGuff Bus Company is hiring for part-time afternoon drivers with a valid New Jersey CDL. Continue to have a rewarding career with a flexible schedule to fit around your life. McGuffBus.com. A FedEx driver stopped to help a stranded driver in North Carolina only to suffer a 75-foot fall off the side of a bridge.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was around 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Driver Jeremiah Cribb pulled over on the Salisbury Bridge to help a motorist who crashed into the structure. While helping the stranded driver, Cribb spotted a tractor trailer approaching them. So out of instinct, the Good Samaritan went to jump out of the way. He said, "When I realized he was going to hit the car, I just reacted on instinct. It's pitch black dark. I thought I was hopping over a median, and I started free falling."
Oh, my God.
What he thought was a median, with the road on the other side, was actually the edge of the bridge. He jumped off accidentally, falling onto rocky terrain below.
Yeah, how are you?
The fire department, 75 feet below, by the way.
Jeez.
So the fire department tweeted... We're getting like a half second of each of these sound effects.
You know, sorry you fell. A lot of people think that's a median, but it's actually the edge of the bridge. Thankfully, you fell onto rocky terrain.
Yes.
And we're going to look out for you.
Stay there.
I'm going to call 911.
The fire department tweeted about the incident, sharing photos of the 45-minute rescue. Cribb was lifted out of the sand bed by a crane and transferred to a local hospital after sustaining serious injuries from the fall.
Hey, what?
Firefighter Jacob Vodajansky had rappelled down the bridge to save Cribb fearing the worst, that he was paralyzed, but he said with a quick pinch of crib, he determined that he wasn't. He said he didn't know what happened. He had no clue where he was at. We shared a couple of personal moments. I let him know he was going to be all right, and we kept telling him that he was doing great and we'd get him out of there. He suffered 3 fractured ribs and a collapsed lung.
Jeez.
And he said, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but he's going to make it. That's amazing.
Imagine you jump over the side, and for in that first nanosecond, you don't feel the ground you thought you were going to land on.
It's got to be so disorienting. Oh. Yeah. Chrislyn T. Talbot was supposed to be babysitting 6 children, but when troopers pulled her over on the interstate, she was intoxicated. Her SUV smelled like weed, and 3 of the kids were asleep in the trunk.
Oh, my God.
Talbot, who is
who
was 18 years old, was going 97 miles an hour in a 70-mile-per-hour zone when she was pulled over. Troopers smelled the strong odor of marijuana coming from the SUV, in which 3 kids were not wearing seatbelts. They found the other 3 kids asleep in the trunk while they were giving Talbot field sobriety tests.
Who hired her as a babysitter?
I don't know. Police said Talbot and 2 other adults who were 19 and 20 in the car were jointly babysitting the kids. All 3 sitters were arrested. Social services took the children, who were all younger than 5, by the way.
I gave you a discount.
Talbot was charged with 8 counts, first degree, wanton endangerment, speeding, reckless driving, DUI, and several drug and seatbelt safety charges.
Wow. In the trunk.
Yeah. 3 Good Samaritans came to the rescue of a truck driver after a massive explosion on the far east side of Indianapolis. For one of those Good Samaritans, it was quite a week. Wait till you hear this story.
All right.
Okay. She said, this is Holly McNally. She said, we see a plume of smoke, huge smoke. It looked like a warehouse was on fire. She had just driven up to the scene with her mom when they came across a turned over semi truck. McNally couldn't believe what they saw. She said, I slowed down. I saw the actual semi on fire. And I look to the front of the semi, and I see a man on fire.
Jeez.
And so I'm scanning, and people are videoing and watching, but no one's going over there. So I told Mom, I'm stopping. I'm going over there. McNally got out of the car. She ran towards a truck where another man put the fire out on the driver. When they finally got the fire out on him, they realized there was another problem as they watched the fire continued spreading on the truck. She goes, we got him out, and we started to walk away, and I see this huge stream of liquid, and I could smell it. And I said, Jeff, who is a truck driver, what are you hauling? And he said, jet fuel.
Oh, my God.
4,000 gallons of jet fuel spilling out of the overturned semi. McNally's shoes were now soaked with it. The fire was getting larger, and the 3 had to move fast. She said, we were trying to carry him down, and it's getting closer and closer, and the second explosion went off. Smoke was hitting us, and I was just praying, like, God, please let us get out of here so that I can see my baby. That baby is her 3-day-old son, Connor. She had just given birth 3 days before, and here she is running into a burning semi-tractor trailer full of jet fuel to save this guy.
Someone. That's amazing.
She had been there moments before coming across, had she been there moments before coming across the crash, she said, I thought, what if that's my son? She said, of seeing the driver on fire. What if that's Connor when he's 30? Would you want to be somebody who just left them there?
Yeah.
Luckily, the 3 of them made it away from the fire as first responders began arriving on the scene. McNally hopes that her actions and the actions of the other 2 Good Samaritans will inspire others to act. The 59-year-old truck driver, by the way, was badly burned. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition. But
she needs a night off, and I know a very cheap babysitter.
Nice. All right. In early 2017, Mr. Clifton Collins, an Irish drug dealer, had a dilemma, and that was where to hide the codes of his illicit $60 million Bitcoin fortune.
It's quite a dilemma where to hide the codes.
Well, listen to this. His solution was to print them on a piece of paper and stash it in the aluminum cap of a fishing rod case kept at his rented home. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Then 3 things happened. Police arrested Colin after finding over $4,000 worth of cannabis in his car. He was sentenced to 5 years in jail. The landlord of the house had it cleared out, resulting in Colin's possessions being taken to a dump. Now the codes are missing, meaning the accounts cannot be accessed. $60 million.
Jesus, in Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin. Workers at the dump told the Irish police force, the Gardaí, they remembered seeing discarded fishing gear, and waste from the dump goes to Germany and China to be incinerated. The fishing rod case has never been found.
Collins has apparently told the Guardy that he has come to terms with his loss of the fortune and considers it punishment for his own stupidity. The High Court in Dublin ruled this week that Collins had forfeited the accounts because they were processed from crime.
Thankfully, it was just $60 million.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that wild? Wow, there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you now.
There was a whole Bitcoin episode on The Simpsons last night.
Oh, yeah?
Very amusing. Nice. They were trying to explain it in a joking way.
Yeah?
And still,
I don't understand that stuff to save my life. All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back in a second, and we're going to ask a question. See if you've been paying attention to the show. Lesson question, trash, and music news, along with a concert announcement in that music news report. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a sec.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR. It is 10:09. It's another pleasant day that we have in the Delaware Valley, going up to 61, 62 degrees.
You should get out today for a little bit.
Yeah.
Recharge. For sure. It's be out in the sun and take that break.
It definitely makes a difference. So, and I know everybody in my neighborhood was out walking yesterday, and everywhere I went, people were getting out and getting active. So you got another day of that, and then we have a little bit of rain on the way Tuesday and Wednesday. Staying in the 50s, so until we get towards Thursday and then cooling off a little bit more. All right, so today we ask a lesson question, we're doing a lesson question. We're giving away a surprise prize for you, meaning that you're going to win tickets to a great summer concert. The show has not been announced, but will be later on today with Jackson at 5 o'clock. We're not going to tell you what it is.
So, yeah.
So you just got to kind of trust us on this, and I think you'll be happy, and you'll find out later on today. And then tomorrow we'll reveal what those tickets are. And I assume, are we giving away tickets the rest of the week once
yes,
it's revealed?
Sir.
All right. It's okay. Don't be nervous. Just trust me. It's going to be good.
Happens to a lot of guys, right?
It happens to a lot of guys.
Yeah, you don't know?
They get tickets to concerts and they don't know what they are.
All right, so... Dude, that Daily Rush video, the first time you did that, I just... It's okay.
It's all right. It's okay. Just relax.
All right. Here's the question for you. When listener Scott was experiencing vivid dreams, what food item did Gene Simmons prepare for him? This is going to be a tough one, I think. 215-263-WMMR.
Gene Simmons was in Marissa's dream first,
yes.
Right? Yeah, right.
Yep. And then, but listener Scott was experiencing a vivid dream, and Gene was apparently in that one, too, because his voice popped up, and he was fixing something for him. Do you remember what it was?
I think I do.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer and maybe win those mystery tickets. Good luck to you. Let's do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning it is brought to you by Patient First. Cold and flu season is here. Patient First is here to help. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Joe Giudice, the ex-husband of Real Housewives star Teresa Giudice, says he had no other choice but to walk away from their marriage. Joe says he finally had to put his foot down after she divorced him and started having sex with other men.
Oh, my God.
Thomas Markle. Yes, Thomas Markle telling TMZ that his daughter Meghan and Prince Harry owe him for what they put him through over the past 2 years. Markle says he understands the couple's reduced status may leave them with less resources, and that's why all he's asking for is Bermuda. And finally, a recent release from the diary of Frank Sinatra's late wife, Barbara Marx, reveals the final words the legendary singer uttered to her as he passed away in 1988. According to the recently discovered diary entry, Barbara says as Frank was passing, she leaned in close to hear him utter the words, you're kneeling on my hand. And that's your Hollywood trash.
Do you have any idea what the real words were?
No, I had my joke. I left that article.
Ow. You're kneeling on my hand.
All right, let's see if we can find an answer to the question. When listener Scott was experiencing vivid dreams, which food item did Gene Simmons prepare for him? I'm going to go to John for the answer, our first caller. And hey, John, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
What's going on, guys? You guys rock.
Thanks, John. So what did Gene Simmons make for Scott in his dream?
I believe that was pot stickers.
Pot stickers, yeah. Yeah. Hang on, John. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a surprise pair of tickets, John. You're just going to have to wait and find out what they are. We're going to have the official announcement for the great summer concert later today. Mr. Jackson will have them at 5 p.m., so you're just going to have to trust us on this. And then tomorrow we'll reveal to you what it was, and you'll be able to win tickets through the course of the week. All right, music news. Let's get to it.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. For more information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. We're going to start with a concert announcement.
Oh! Yeah.
Why not? We'll just dive right into this. This show is going to be Saturday, August 22nd at BB&T Pavilion. The on sale will be this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. And MMR is happy to rock the Black Keys. And the Black Keys will be performing with Gary Clark Jr. and Yola for what they're calling their Let's Rock Tour. And like I said, Nell loves them. Saturday, August 22nd at BB&T Pavilion. Like I said, the ticket on sale is this Friday at 10 a.m.
That there is a good bill.
Via Ticketmaster.com. And then you want to listen to Jackson each afternoon this week. He'll have your chance to win tickets. Or you can head to the contest page at WMMR.com. To enter and all winners this week. And this weekend are qualified for the grand prize trip to see the Black Keys in San Diego.
San Diego?
That'd be pretty awesome, man. You can go to WMMR.com for the pre-sale and complete details. So one more time, I'll hit it. Saturday, August 22nd, BB&T Pavilion. Let's Rock Tour along with Gary Clark and Yola. Black Keys headlining, of course. Jackson's got them all week to give away, and then all the winners this week and over the weekend are qualified for the grand prize trip to see the Black Keys in San Diego. You can go to WMMR.com for presale and complete details. So good stuff. Let's see. We're going on to other music news stories. Metallica's James Hetfield performed live for the first time since his rehab stay at a tribute to Eddie Money. Isn't that kind of interesting?
That is kind of interesting.
I wouldn't expect him to be at a tribute for Eddie Money, but apparently he and Eddie were friends.
I did not know. Annabelle didn't tell me that.
Annabelle, she didn't tell you that?
No.
The singer and guitarist played an acoustic rendition of Money's Baby Hold On to Me.
Love that song.
At the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. He was an unannounced surprise guest at a star-studded tribute to Eddie Money, a benefit with proceeds going to the USC Eddie Money Cancer Research Fund. Sammy Hagar, Rick Springfield, George Thorogood were among the night's other performers. There were a few others there as well. Hetfield and Money were friends, and before playing the song, he recalled how he first connected to the late singer. He said, "So I got to hang out with Eddie the last probably 3 years of his life. I saw the cleaned up version of Eddie." He recalled that he met for the first time Eddie Money at an Oakland Raiders football game where Eddie was performing the national anthem. He said, "I met him before he went out there. And he kind of blew me off. And I saw through that ego, and he saw through mine, and we got to be friends. Because I think our egos matched the size of our insecurities." And apparently James has said before that he has a hard time connecting with others. He said, "Connecting with people has never been easy for me. I think the more that people know about me and my struggles, the easier it will be to connect with people. And I put myself out there,
And if they choose to stomp on my heart or embrace it, that is up to them.
So he connected to Eddie Money.
I guess so.
Huh.
Hetfield has been largely out of the public eye since last fall when Metallica canceled an Australian tour and announced that he was returning to rehab for the first time since 2002 with battle his addictions. Foo Fighters are teasing something on their social media accounts called DC Jam.
DC Jam.
And it's a reference to the Cal Jam festivals that the Foos staged in California in 2017 and 2018, suggesting that Dave Grohl and the gang could be planning similar blowouts for the nation's capital, or a similar blowout for the nation's capital, where Dave began his career on the city's punk scene more than 30 years ago. The event is likely to be part of their 25th anniversary celebration this year, which is already set to include a string of dates retracing the band's first trek back in 1995. An upcoming documentary about van touring directed by Grohl and a new studio album as well. The two Cal Jam festivals featured a number of big rock acts like Queens of the Stone Age, Iggy Pop, Garbage, Liam Gallagher, Cage the Elephant, The Kills, and many more. So we'll see what that ends up meaning. Ozzy has marked the arrival of his new album, Ordinary Man, by introducing the Golden Ticket Sweepstakes, tied to the release of his first solo LP in a decade. In the U.S. only, all physical copies of the album on CD, vinyl, and cassette are bundled with a unique code. Fans must enter their codes at OrdinaryManSweepstakes.com and redeem them for once-in-a-lifetime Ozzy prizes. And the prizes range from a trip or two to Los Angeles to have dinner with Ozzy and Sharon, to a signed guitar, a Blizzard of Oz platinum plaque, a box set, and more.
Where does the gold ticket appear again? Where can one get it?
If you buy the CD or vinyl or cassette, there it comes with a code.
Come with me, follow me to the fascination.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy also appeared at an in-store signing for the first time in 10 years on Friday at Amoeba Records in Hollywood. He signed approximately 600 copies of Ordinary Man for fans who purchased the effort in the store on CD, LP, or picture disc vinyl.
600 signings. Sounds like he had some energy. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Papa Roach singer Jacoby Shaddix has confirmed that the band will play some special live shows to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the band's breakthrough album, Infest, later this year. He said, "We're going to celebrate this album for sure, 100%, definitely. And then we have some announcements around some live shows that we're going to do to celebrate the album as well. So I can't let the cat out of the bag completely, but yeah, we got to celebrate it. It's a cult classic and a bestseller right there." The band's second full-length record and first major label release, Infest, peaked at number 5 on the Billboard 200 chart, has sold 3 million copies in the U.S. alone. It featured the band's first massive hit single and signature song, Last Resort. And one last story, Fall Out Boy frontman Patrick Stump makes fun of his own band and pop music in general on a track called New Music Sucks from the new comedy album by Brian Posehn, Grandpa Metal. In the song, which also features Fall Out Boy guitarist Joe Throman and Death Clock mastermind Brendan Small, Stump calls out a list of acts, including his own. He sings Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Drake, and even Macklemore, One Direction, and Mother Effing Fall Out Boy. Grandpa Metal also features guest appearances from members of Slipknot, Soundgarden, Anthrax, Slayer, and more.
Is Macklemore a thing still?
I just saw him do one of those tiny desk concerts, and he's great.
All right, and one last thing. This was just handed
this
to me.
This is weird, though, Press.
A Neil Peart tribute concert has been scheduled for May 16th in Peart's hometown of St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, at the Meridian Center. What part's weird about
it? The last part that's highlighted.
It says
stars Macklemore.
A lineup for the show has yet to be announced, but tickets go on sale to the general public this Friday. Complete details can be found at Ticketmaster.com. You mean because tickets are going on sale before announcing who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably assembling a whole bunch of drummers.
Would you? all right, tickets go on sale on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a lineup announced at 10 a.m., would you buy tickets?
Yeah, I mean, if the date and place worked out for me,
yeah,
absolutely,
okay,
yeah, because I would count on it being at least worthwhile seeing.
It would be an insult if they didn't get people who are able to play at a level that would be a tribute to him.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you can go to Ticketmaster.com if you want to head up to St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
Who does that?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then I didn't do this?
No. You made all the announcements.
I forgot to give away tickets to the Black Keys. I made the announcement, and I didn't give away tickets.
It's worth the wait.
We forgot to practice.
I love that line. Caller 18, you get tickets to go see Black Keys with Gary Clark Jr. and Yola Saturday, August 22nd at BB&T Pavilion, 215-263-WMMR. Tickets,
right,
on, tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, and then Jackson's got them all week to give away. And there's a grand prize trip associated with those giveaways to San Diego to see them. So let's get you on board. And as you're calling to win those tickets, we'll take a break, come back in a second. Get ready to wrap it up on the back end. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day.
Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
And we were just talking about Papa Roach. 93.3 WMMR. The song is called Come Around. 10:32. Day number one of your work week. It's a Monday morning with the President and Steve Show. Coming to an end for us, but you probably still have a nice chunk of the day left ahead. Hang in there. It's going to be nice weather-wise. 61 degrees, 62 degrees. Pretty much clouds, but still comfy and enjoyable. We'll have some rain on the way tomorrow. High of about 50. I don't know to what level that's going to be, but afternoon showers on Wednesday and 51. So we're coming back down as far as the temps go, but still enjoyable. And if you want to get out this week, we're getting ready for Cardboard Classic. Listen, they're making snow. I know it's been warm here, but they've been making snow up at Jack Frost.
They haven't missed a beat.
And we'll be ready for Cardboard Classic on the 6th. And there are some more Cardboard Classic pre-parties with Pacifico coming up. You can come by to these events and get registered for a VIP Cardboard Classic experience courtesy of Pacifico, which includes overnight stay, lift tickets, and VIP access for you and three friends to watch the Cardboard
Awesome.
Classic. The next one will be at Bar Lay. Remember, we had those guys by here.
Very good. Vietnamese, right? Oh. Yeah. Is it Vietnamese?
I don't know.
Okay, but it was delicious.
They did have some Vietnamese dishes that they brought in that day. I don't know what all they specialize in, but yes, they, they're located. They're only sports bar in Chinatown, and Marissa will be there from 7 to 9 on Wednesday, and she'll have Calendar Girls, Jane and Carly there, so your chance to get on board. Or Jeanne, I'm sorry. Jeanne. So make sure you stop by and see everybody, and maybe you'll win that. Very cool.
From the makers of Swant, Jeanne.
And keep in mind, Cardboard Classic, lift tickets if you want to go and do skiing and snowboarding, any snow sports at all. But if you don't and you just want to see a Cardboard Classic, it's free.
Yes!
It's 100% free. Come out and join us. You don't have to win tickets. You just show up.
So these Pacifico pre-parties, there are a bunch of them this week. Marissa has at least two. Casey has one on the weekend, and then I have two. I have one on Thursday and on Friday. So they're a lot of fun. And mine is at McGurk's on Thursday night and then at Time Out on Friday night. But all the information is up on PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com. So or get in touch with me or Casey or Marissa, and we'll let you know.
By the way, Time Out is right around the corner from my house.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I'm going to try to stop by. I might be tied up with something else. But actually, yeah, I just had lunch there yesterday with son. So I will try to come to that event and see you, Nick.
It's in Skipback.
It is.
Very cool. All right.
Right down the street from my house. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man, how you doing?
Good day. What happens at these Cardboard Classic VIP pre-parties?
I don't know. I haven't done one of them yet. Okay. So, but it's a chance to join us up there and get the VIP treatment. So the reason to go is that you can get some really cool stuff when you come up to Jack Frost in a week and a half, right?
I think it's a hang and possibly win. Marissa, you've done one or two, right?
Yeah, the Calendar Girls are there. Calendar Girls are awesome this year. They're so sweet. And then you enter to win an overnight stay.
Do we have calendars with us at these events?
Yes, we do.
Well, there you go, too.
Yeah.
Well, Annabelle loves
Annabelle
those.
Wants and to make sure everyone gets a calendar.
At each one of these, there's always Pacifico specials. So if you're just looking for a hang, a happy hour, great time to come out. And you get to register for the overnight stay and that VIP experience where you can watch the Carbo Classic from a cool little VIP area.
Yes, our exclusive area, which is pretty cool.
Very important person. Yeah.
Yes. It's true. Hey, I forgot to thank Gavin O'Connor for being here.
He was great.
Director of the film The Way Back. His voice was way out of it. He is, he's got a cold, but
The strangest voice.
Yeah, he's the director of that film starring Ben Affleck. It's going to be out March 6th. He's a very nice guy. It was cool to see him. Did you have a good weekend, man?
I did.
Excellent.
I went to see the Black Crows or the Brothers Robinson on Friday at the upstairs at the Fillmore at the Foundry.
Your review?
It was cool.
Yeah.
You had Rich on acoustic guitar, just one acoustic guitar, and Chris on vocals. Although Chris, it was packed, that little tiny place.
Yeah.
Packed, as you might well imagine, sold out. We had given away tickets to it. And Chris, on occasion, would chastise the crowd to be quiet.
Chuck was saying that he was right, but he was a little caustic. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's... But I'm trying to filter my words. So, yes, it was occasionally.
Dude, you're at a rock concert. You're not at a library reading, so.
It depends on the vibe. You know, like if you're going to see a band that's known in a more acoustic setting, like I've gone to Jackson Browne numerous times and people call out stuff and it's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
However, that's a more relaxed setting and a quieter singer-songwriter type vibe. The Black Crowes are a rowdy band.
Yeah, it's crunchy.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
It is. Yeah. But you're hearing Jealous Again and She Talks to Angels in an acoustic fashion. But, it's also a Friday night, and it wasn't an easy ticket to get and they went quickly. So I understand both sides of the coin. The artist wants to be heard. But no one was out of control. So at times, Mr. Robinson was.
It perhaps didn't warrant his response level.
Yes.
Okay. I don't like that. I don't. I think you can. I think there's a way to get your message across. Hey, I'm so glad you guys are enthusiastic. If we can, as we're performing and everything, if we can just keep it down because we want everyone to enjoy the show. A couple of those before you go ballistic.
Then I was. I'm sorry. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say he's got a long tour ahead of him. If this is the case, because. Yeah. That is the way it's going to be. That is the way it's going to be. If you're going to fill a fairly decent sized venue, and I don't know, it's like 400 people or something like that, and just play acoustic music, and there's drinking, and it's a rock and roll, shake your money maker kind of crowd, then you're going to get that the whole tour.
This is a relatively brief acoustic tour, so I think it's more like a kind of an appetizer for the big tour. But be that as it may. So then Saturday, I was really torn because I wanted to come see Saint. And I really did. And then, but America was playing at the Keswick Theater.
The America? The folk band?
Horse with No Name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of more quiet acoustic kind of a thing. Ventura Highway, all that stuff. And I'm going, and I'm torn back and forth. And then it's getting later. And then all of a sudden I go, all right, well, I'm not going to make Preston. I'm going to go to the Keswick and see America. And so by the time I left my house, it was like 10 o'clock. I said, all right. So, well, they'll play, every band plays till 11.
I'll see South America.
So and it's a bit of a haul out to the Keswick Theater. So I just merrily, inanely drove out there. And I make the right onto Little Keswick Avenue, and I pass the theater. It's about 10:15, 10:20. I'm thinking I'm going to see the last 6, 7, 8 songs. The theater is dark.
Yeah.
And I'm going, did I get the wrong night? And I made a left turn in this archway near the stage door, and the crew is loading out. And they were local. He goes, Pierre, what are you doing? I go, what time did the show end? He goes, 9:30. I go, are you kidding? I said, what time did they come on? He goes, 8 o'clock, 90-minute set. 8 o'clock, done by 9. I could have done that and still made it back to Delco and
easily. We played till like 12:45.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, my timing strikes again.
Mm-hmm. America was the first rock concert I ever saw.
Really?
Yeah, at the Westbury Music Fair in Long Island, yeah.
Were they good?
They were great. I've always loved America. Who was the band member who passed?
I can't remember his name. But on Friday, I found from the vaults of the MMR archives, MMR played them... when they were first coming out, they did a show for us at Sigma Sound Studio.
Wow.
And I played A Horse With No Name from 1970-something or other from Sigma Sound Studio that the station apparently broadcast, with including a very stony ID from the guys. And then they say, here's a new song, A Horse With No Name. You know, and so it's pretty wild.
That is cool.
I was, yeah, so I missed
you have
it.
One, you have one more shot to see Sing.
I know. And do we have a final concert date?
Yes, but I'm going to get to that later on.
We can't announce it yet.
It's a charity event.
It's a state secret.
Not a whole lot of tickets, and we're having somebody in to talk about the charity, so I'm not going to wait till
then.
All
right, I'm in suspense.
Excellent. All right. Shall we do the letter?
I think.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve shows brought to you today by the letter.
S as in Saint.
All right, and we're going to give away on Friday a three-night, three-day drive and stay mini vacation for four at Smuggler's Notch in Vermont from Hyundai City. And Hyundai City's President's Day savings are in their final days, so come celebrate the red, white, and blue by saving a whole lot of green only at South Jersey's favorite Hyundai dealer, HyundaiCity.com. Nick had pulled up, by the way, who had passed away. It says Dan Peek from America, but that was in 2011. Wasn't there a guy that died not that long ago?
But they started as three, and one of them had left.
Jerry Beckley?
I think Jerry Beckley's still there.
Yeah, and then Dewey Bunnell?
I think Jerry and Dewey are still there.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they're the essence of what is now America.
Okay.
They started as a threesome, though. And one of them left, and then I think passed away after he left.
But the ones who were dead were not there.
Well, they were there.
No, they weren't.
They were there to greet me as I went by the empty theater. Yeah. I got stoned and I missed it. I didn't get stoned, but that's a song by Dr. John and Dr. Hook in the Medicine Show.
Yeah.
I got stoned and I missed it.
I love it.
It's just like the time I went to the blood drive in the summer, and I got up to the Oaks Expo Center, and I'm walking in and going, where is everybody?
It was like 4:30.
They left an hour and a half ago. There's like one guy putting chairs away. He goes, and it was like this sad, lonely, oh, Pierre, you
Well, last year we had you broadcast, which was a huge help. So
that's the way to get me there on time.
Yeah.
We had a conversation earlier this morning about work dreams and nightmares and bad things that happen while you're at work, and somebody texted in and asked if when Pierre has work dreams, if he actually is early. That's the nightmare.
That would be a
nightmare. Showed up 2 hours early.
Oh, my God. There was one time. Do you guys remember the time I'm in the other room, and I miscalculated on the good side, and I come walking in and thinking that it's this time, and you were just going into music news. And you go,
you're like an hour early.
You go, well, Pierre, sit for music news. I go, oh, okay. There you go. Did I tell you what I got going on?
No, what's happening?
Well, this will please Steve to no end. It is George Thorogood's birthday.
Oh, my God!
And we're going to celebrate the Bard of the
Leather Bound book of his poetry right here.
It is. Well, you've got the bound book, which is the exclusive
leather-covered
edition with the etched writing. Shakespeare would be proud. We've got Lonesome George to celebrate his 70th birthday today. We got some great archive cuts, speaking of that. We have Sublime. Eric was 50 yesterday. Bradley would have been 52 on Saturday. We got Aerosmith. Brad Whitford of the band also had a birthday yesterday. So we'll have some fun with the workforce blocks.
So George Thorogood, his birthday, Steve's favorite. And you know who else's birthday is today?
I don't.
If you like Gina, come on.
Yeah. It is Rupert Holmes' birthday today.
I'll never live this
Come
day.
On, Pierre. Do it.
You
play it today.
Play it.
The whole song.
Bam Bam played it for me the other night. Yeah,
did he?
Like a couple weeks ago on a You Call It
Do you have it on vinyl by chance?
I don't. Thank God.
We could probably get it.
That would be a perfect cut.
But if I had it, no, I would absolutely play it. Maybe, what the F, maybe I'll play it anyway.
Find out. You got to tune in to find out.
You tune in and find out.
That's right. All right. I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve show has been brought today by Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. So tomorrow, this is going to be cool. In our studio, we will have actress Anya Taylor-Joy.
Love her.
She was the breakout star from the movie Split from M. Night Shyamalan. Wow. And she's gone on to do some other great things, too. And she will be in the studio tomorrow. We haven't had a chance to talk to her or meet her, so I'm excited about
that. She's in a great cult movie, horror movie called The Witch. Which is awesome.
Nice. We will also have from NBC 10, telling the story of Kathy's dad, Jim Rosen.
Part of the story.
Jim Rosenfield from NBC 10 is doing a feature on Kathy's dad finding out he had a long-lost brother he had no idea about. And these stories are becoming more common with 23andMe and all these.
Yeah, and that's sort of what... Yeah. So Jim has done... Jim's an anchor on NBC 10 in the evening. He does the evening news. And for whatever reason, he likes these DNA secrets that are being revealed and people finding things out. So he had heard our podcast. Somebody sent it to him.
Nice.
He listened to the podcast. And so he's doing a story on my dad and his new brother that we found.
I love it. So that is tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have some other surprises for you as well. That is it. We are done raging. On and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Game, bye bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
So, you see, I have my own bad habits, which I've been cultivating for many years, and you have your bad habits, and I just think, frankly, it's a little too much. So, just so we're clear, it's not me, it's you. Sorry.
Next message.
Pubic hair, everywhere there's pubic hair. Oh, what a bush.
Next message.
You assholes added a half an hour to a morning commute because you've never seen a broken down truck before. I'd like to just say, you.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.